would you hold the data for 75 years, all of the clinical data, for 75 years from these if you were trying to be transparent? Tell me why.
This is a person who was vaccinated 4 times by Pfizer, 1 year since vaccination, tumors emerged, person was dead within a month. We got 3 biopsies out of them, 1 postmortem. All of them have SV40 and the origin of replication from the Pfizer vaccine.
SV40, or simian virus 40, reared its ugly head back in 1960 when scientists spotted it lurking in rhesus monkey kidney cell cultures that were being held to whip up polio vaccines. SV40, a tumor-making machine, has the large T antigen, a molecular wrecking ball that smashes into cellular control systems like P53 and retinoblastoma protein pathways, turning normal cells into rogue cancer factories. Fast forward to 2025, and messengers from a myriad of professions are shouting from the rooftops about SV40's presence in the COVID vaccines.
These vaccines are not vaccines. They are, in fact, a gene therapy based. This genomic integration, as the scientific literature makes clear, can lead to cancer development, immune system disruption, and more. The sheer levels of contamination detected, up to 145 times permissible limit in some cases, are extraordinary and far beyond what should be allowed in any medicinal product. In my work as an oncologist in the UK, I started to see a disturbing trend as early as February 2022. Patients who had been cancer-free for many years were suddenly relapsing with aggressive explosive cancers shortly after receiving booster doses of the COVID-19 vaccine.
I'll tell you a good story.
Okay.
I have 3 friends. All 3 of them had stage 4 cancer. All 3 of them don't have cancer right now at all. And they had some serious stuff going on.
And what did they take?
Jesus. They took some... what you've heard they've taken.
Ivermectin.
Fembendazole.
These 3 advanced cancer patients experienced remission in 2 cases, complete remission, and in 1 case, near remission, for an extended period of time, years after initiating this fembendazole protocol, and none of them received chemo either, right? So this was with, it wasn't combination. A few were with a surgery. Some did receive a brief dose of radiation, but in general, this fembendazole was linked to extraordinarily, it's accelerated tumor reductions in a pretty short period of time with extended survival outcomes with no evidence of disease.
Yeah, I was off their charts, 1,498.
Yeah, the chart didn't even go that high.
That is something else.
That was December 31st. I took my first course of ivermectin on my birthday, February 2nd. February 11th, my CEA was down to 180.
Raise that up a little bit. Wow.
Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public. That's mass murder.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell, and sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway, and a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria, the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you gotta do is try it, you'll be blown away. Take action now. TheAuctionStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheAuctionStore.com.
You're watching The American Journal with Tim Tompkins and Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome to the American Journal, Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Honestly, it's an honor to be able to do this.
No, absolutely. And, you know, we were doing our show last night, and we usually do like a three-hour broadcast on Sunday, sometimes even 4 hours, sometimes even longer than that. And we cut it real early because we wanted to save it for today. We got a lot of phenomenal clips to go through. I know you've got a phenomenal deep dive to go through. Let's tell the audience what we do exactly on The Gray Area.
Yeah, so The Gray Area is a little different than other shows. We consider ourselves like nonpartisan. So, I mean, we're not very like conservative, not very, liberal.
Trying to find the truth.
Trying to find the truth. Cause often a lot of extreme on either side doesn't actually tell you what's going on. And a lot of the truth is somewhere in the middle. And that's what we try to do and distill it down in a way that actually gives you guys knowledge.
Sure. Like, we're post-duopoly on the show. This is what I believe in, is kind of a radical centrism, not a, spin-sitting competition or anything like that, but taking good ideas from the right, taking good ideas from the left, because ultimately you're not a donkey, you're not an elephant, you're a human being. And 100%. We get to make decisions based off the data, based on the facts, based on what's good for our society, not what makes you feel like you're on the best sports team.
And the thing that really held us together and allowed us to gel is you came from a more conservative background.
Sure.
I came from a more liberal background. I'm from New York, right?
From Texas. That's right.
So at the end of the day, we realized when we decided to go on air and start talking about things, we had more in common than we actually had in differences. And I was like, dude, let's just start a show. We can do this.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's like he says, we have far more in common than we do in difference. That's true for all Americans. And the thing that we've been discovering, you know, as people have come and watched our show or become a part of our community and now honored to be a part of the InfoWars community formally and to be on this broadcast here in the morning going forward, like, we're finding the best people, we're finding the best guests, we're finding the best listeners because people want a positive solutions-based message.
Yes.
And a lot of the time, it's the fear porn, it's the fear mongering, it's the this, that, or the other thing. How does it ever get better? Well, we do a little black pilling. We do some white pilling as well. That's why it's the gray area.
Yeah, and I'm a very analytical guy, so that's why we do something called deep dives, which you guys are going to start seeing a little bit more, where we kind of go past the headline and we kind of cover the specifics around a particular topic. So,
sure.
You know, most shows will be like, okay, well, this war, breaking news, this war happened and this situation happened.
We go back 20 years.
We actually start going through historical context. We say, okay, how did the dots connect? And then you guys are able to actually see the full picture because knowledge is everything.
That's exactly correct. And, you know, even in like the 6 short months that we've been doing the show, I mean, the world has transformed radically already. So the cool thing is getting into it now, we've been able to track events as they happen and also look at causality, which is a thing that a lot of other people don't do. But, you know, it is awesome to do a little bit of the news blitz coverage. And that's also something that we're very proud of. We find the best clips. We give you the best breaking updates. We've got a breaking update for you right now. So President Trump has announced that we're going to take a pause from hitting the energy infrastructure because we've been negotiating and they're very close to making a deal. I'm going to go ahead and read you this Trump tweet. If we can go ahead and get that punched up on screen. This is from Donald J. Trump. I am pleased to report that the United States of America and the country of Iran have had over the last 2 days very good and productive conversations regarding a complete and total resolution of our hostilities in the Middle East. Based on the tenor and tone of these in-depth, detailed, and constructive conversations, which will continue throughout the week, I have instructed the Department of War to postpone any and all military strikes against Iranian power plants and energy infrastructure for a 5-day period, subject to the success of the ongoing meetings and discussions. Thank you for your attention to this matter, President Trump.
Now, when you told me about this, I was like, there's no possible way.
Well, it's him being goofy. It's not real. And we'll get into that because the Iranians have already responded according to multiple media sources. And they say they're not having negotiations. They're not talking. So it's market manipulation, in my opinion. And that's what we see with all of this stuff. I mean, the very existence of places like Kalshi or Polymarket should be illegal. Yeah. Like, you can't run a world like this.
100%. And I mean, come on. At this point, if you think about it, Iran has been backed into a corner. And when you back a wild animal into a corner, they're going to lash out at the end of the day. And they've got a strong sense of nationalism. I think that's the thing.
Well, they know what they're fighting for. They're fighting for their country. They're fighting for the existence of their nation. Whether you agree or disagree with that, ultimately, you're not an Iranian, right? But us sitting here in America in the lap of luxury, we're like, oh, the gas prices went up. They're getting bombed. Right. So the priorities of us, you know, having a little bit of pain and wanting that gone because we have a much, much softer existence versus a nation that's been sanctioned for 2 decades. It's just, it's not going to work.
And you know what I'm thinking about here is Iran knows that they have some of the cards at the end of the day.
Because definitely.
This is a war of attrition.
Well, they have a win condition. They have the straight.
Yeah, they have the straight. Right now, we don't have a clear objective at the end of the day. There's no way that we can take out all of their military assets, especially with a population that big.
Well, this is not very MAGA what you're saying right now, because I've been told by the president every day since the conflict started that their military has been destroyed and they've been defeated.
Not possible. I mean, you look at the terrain itself, and Iran has been prepping for this for decades.
Right.
I mean, they've known that at some point there was going to be a direct strike, so they've moved a lot of their assets underground. But I will say that it's not to say that they aren't reeling in pain right now.
Well, they did hit the power. Trump says he's not going to hit the power anymore, but that's a war crime. You can't use energy as a weapon, civilian energy as a weapon. The escalation is coming, and whether that means boots on the ground, whether that means the eventual threat or use of a nuclear weapon, whether that means the targeting of the desalinization plants, which really, this is something crazy because this makes absolutely zero sense at all. Iran is relying on desalinization for 3%. And then you look at the Gulf nations, 40, 50. I think Israel's over 50%.
Yeah, because it's outrageous. They don't have any natural sources of water.
Right.
And it is. If Iran targets the desalinization plants in the Gulf countries, they're screwed. That's the easiest way to describe it because a lot of their fresh water comes from that process.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's a good thing that we got a phenomenal cabinet of wonderful individuals like Lutnick and Scott Bessent taking care of us. I want to roll this clip. It's the first clip in the rundown. Scott Bessent, you have to escalate to de-escalate. That sounds right. You know, war is peace. You know, freedom is slavery and all of that.
Yeah, it's ridiculous at this point. I think people are just so far removed from reality at this point. I think that's the biggest problem I have. Let's go ahead and roll this clip, I'll comment on that after.
Every day, we are taking out their missiles, their missile systems, and the factories that build those missiles. And now our General Kane, Secretary Hegseth, are leading a campaign to destroy all the fortifications along the Straits of Hormuz.
Just to put a fine point on this, though, is the president in the process of winding down this war or escalating the conflict?
Again, they're not mutually exclusive. Sometimes you have to escalate to de-escalate, Chris.
Okay. NBC News is reporting that President Trump is considering sending troops into Iran. Will the administration...
Your point, Tim?
I don't think they know what they're doing.
No.
There's no shot. Because at the end of the day, they thought when they went in there, took out the supreme leader and all of the cabinet members, they were like, okay, we got him. They're going to negotiate. They did not expect this. At the end of the day.
Trump didn't expect them to close the strait. Like they said this openly. They said this openly, just to speak to your point
there. No, 100%. And now, here's the thing. They know they have the keys because now Americans are starting to actually feel this, right? So gas prices are just the first equation. We're not seeing all the trickle-down effect of all the other things that are about to happen through the transportation industry.
And we're getting into that, too.
The diesel. I'm going to be covering that in the deep dive. But all of those things start crushing the Americans. Now, that's not to say, you know, I think about on the opposite end, like, how long can Iran's people take
right.
care of it? You know?
Right.
But at the end of the day, you really think about Iran in itself. There is a strong sense of nationalism at the end of the day, and they know what they're fighting for. For Americans, we're like, we don't want any part in this war. And it's pretty clear across the spectrum, whether you look at the left, the right, except for the neocons, of course. That's just a whole nother story.
We'll get into that. It's crazy. The thing that I take away from the Scott Bessent clip, the first one that we had there, he's like, yeah, we're going to destroy all the fortifications. Well, if you can't do it from the air already, if it wasn't already done in the first coming up to be a month of the war, yep. then you're going to have to deploy ground troops. And we see the 81st Airborne. We see the two Marine Expeditionary Fleets coming up there that are going to get involved inevitably. I don't see how this is not a mass casualty event. And they can say it's great. Maybe they do take the island, whatever. Maybe they do reopen the Strait of Hormuz, best case scenario. But 3,000 Americans dead? You think about numbers like that. I mean, this country is not ready for something like that.
No. Not at all. And we were talking about this with Chase Geiser last night. He came on the show and I told him this. I said, if we put troops there, you think Iran is just going to let that happen with like the million troops that they have? The first thing they're going to do is try to take back any inch of land that the United States tries to carve out.
They will not tolerate it.
And if you've got even, let's say, 3,000 to 5,000 Marines, and let's say you've got a couple destroyers and maybe some other assets.
And the aircraft.
There's no way you can hold that area down. It's not statistically possible right. with the overwhelming amount of resources that they have on the ground.
And it's not a refinery. It's not an oil depot in the sense of it's not a place they're drilling. It's a transport hub. That's where the oil gets loaded. So by impacting the Iranian ability to put oil out on the global market, I mean, they've admitted they're lifting Iranian and Russian sanctions to try to stabilize the market desperately. Something that Scott Bessent, the guy in the clip we just played, something that he fought for years, Russian sanctions, increasing Russian sanctions. All that's gone now because they knew they messed up.
And that goes back to my original decision when I thought about sure. all of this was we don't make long-term decisions. We just make tactical ones.
That's
we don't
right.
think
no
about
strategy.
The butterfly effect of what ends up happening down the line. We did the same thing with the Russian oil. I'm going to touch upon that. Back in 2022, when Russia invaded Ukraine, you had a ton of sanctions that came out against Russian oil, remember? And then we told a country, it started destabilizing the markets. Everyone was panicking. Oil was going up. And then we were like, okay, India, come in. We need you guys to start importing Russian oil in order to stabilize the market.
Right, right.
Okay, then we come down to Trump getting in office, and then we basically punish India at the same time where we say, well, you're importing Russian oil, and we're going to have to do something about that. And again, it's that knee-jerk reaction to where now we're making enemies because we had no long-term plans. You can't ask a country to do one thing and then turn back and then punish them for the same action. It doesn't make any sense.
Sure, and then you got the double whammy on top of that of India before this conflict was going on, buying very cheap, discounted, sanctioned Russian oil for like $54 a barrel, getting a discount, saying like, we'll get around these U.S. sanctions, supply us, we have the need for energy. As to now, it's up to paying $94+ a barrel from Russia because that same deal ain't working no more in the modern environment.
No, and the conflict is still going on. The news cycle changes so often.
Every day.
Every single day that we forget that these conflicts that were never finished are still happening in the background.
It's never over.
There are Ukrainians and Russians dying every single day. And it's like, okay, well, now the focus is Iran because it has to directly involve with the United States. But those things were supposed to be solved a long time ago.
Absolutely. Let's roll the next Scott Bessent clip. We'll go down the line with him, then we'll play Lindsey Graham. I mean, like, these people, like, they're from another planet. They're from, like, Saturn or the moon or something. Because, like, they don't act like human beings, Americans. They don't consider human life. They don't find liberty or the pursuit of happiness sacred. Oh, you got it? Let's go to it.
Let's turn to how all of this is impacting consumers. United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby is now planning, he says, to cut flights and is planning for oil to go as high as $175 a barrel, with prices potentially staying above $100 a barrel through 2027. This is according to him. All of this could potentially mean higher prices for consumers. What do you say to Americans who feel They were promised lower costs, and now they're getting the opposite.
Kristen, I think the American people understand that they, in any 50, I'm not going to put a time on it, but let's just pick 50 days of temporary elevated prices. Prices will come off on the other side. For 50 years of not having an Iranian regime with a nuclear weapon, the American people, the are beginning to understand, thanks to President Trump, that there is no prosperity without security.
I heard you say 50 days. Are you saying that prices start to come down?
No. What's the time? I was just picking.
All right,
picking
that's enough
point.
Of him.
I don't
we
know whether it's
going to
be
us now. So the arrogance of talking about, oh, well, the American people will have temporary price increases. Of course they will come down, but they're learning, thanks to President Trump, that, what is it, prosperity doesn't come without security. I mean, like, what are we, a dog?
I would be so interested to see how much he makes a year.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Because that is the thing here. These people are so detached from reality because they don't feel the cost. A $50 increase in gas
money's
for them
not
is
real
nothing
to them.
For them,
right?
So you tell that to the family of four that's reeling from the fact that they also had inflation go up during the Biden administration.
Right. And then you blame it on Biden and say it's Biden's fault. I mean, the oil prices are spiking. The price of a barrel of oil is rapidly increasing. It's not even comparable to what it was at the start of the war. At the start of the war, you're looking at around $60 per barrel. Now you're looking north of 100. It keeps fluctuating based on Trump's statements, but we have a thing of Bissonnette talking about that. Let's take a look.
Ask you on a different topic about a post by President Trump from yesterday responding to the death of former special counsel Robert Mueller. He posted this quote, Robert Mueller just died. Good. I'm glad he's dead. He can no longer hurt innocent people. Do you think it's appropriate for the president of the United States to celebrate the death of an American citizen, someone who's a Bronze Star, Purple Heart recipient and who served in Vietnam?
Kristen, I was with the president in the green room at Davos, and there was a video playing of the what may have been an illegal raid on his home at Mar-a-Lago. They are going through his wife's wardrobe, and I watched the look in his eye, and I think that neither one of us can understand what has been done to the president and to his family.
But to the question of the president's post, I mean, Robert Mueller didn't order that raid. Is it appropriate for the president to celebrate the death of any American citizen?
Again,
Mr. Secretary?
I think that given what has been done to President Trump and his family, it is impossible for either of us to understand what he has been through.
So you don't think that there's anything wrong with the post saying Robert Mueller's dead?
Again, I think that we should all have a little empathy for what has been.
He died, LOL, LMAO. Like, I mean, it's the peace president again. I have no words.
No, I will say it's not okay to necessarily say, okay, well, I'm glad he's dead. But I mean, at the time, I did think what they did to him was unfair.
Sure. Like, no,
the judicial system and weaponizing it, I had a problem with that.
Absolutely. I mean, we were massive defenders of him for that reason because we saw the lawfare and prosecution and we went through a lot of the same things. I mean, this is the thing I talked about last night, how they kind of broke Trump like a racehorse. You put someone through all these things for decades, you can eventually probably get them to do exactly what you want them to do.
Yeah, and I think he got
to make a mean.
Yeah, I think he got to the point where, you know, he had been going through legal battle after legal battle, impeachment after impeachment, and then it gets to a point where you become brittle. I mean, it makes you harden. It makes you feel like, okay. Well,
sours you.
It does sour you. That's a very good point.
Yes. Yeah. Excellent. Let's go to Bissonnette on spiking oil prices per barrel. And this is a temporary cost. It's a temporary cost we have to bear. He says that's okay.
Why is the U.S. helping to fund a country that it's currently at war with, Mr. Secretary?
Again, Kristen. Why don't we have good facts here? That Iranian oil was always going to be sold to the Chinese. It was going to be sold at a discount. So which is better, Kristen? Which is better? If oil prices spiked to $150 and they were getting 70% of that, or oil prices below 100, it's better to have them where they are now. And to be clear, we had always planned for this contingency. About 140 million barrels are out on the water. In essence, We are jujitsuing the Iranians. We are using their own oil against them. We have a much better line of sight, to be clear, at Treasury when this oil goes to, if it goes to Indonesia, if it goes to Japan, if it goes to Korea. We have a much better line of sight and are able to block accounts that the oil goes into. When it goes into China, it completely gets recycled. So to be clear, that 14 billion number is grossly overstated.
I don't care what the number is.
Right.
Anything that is over a certain amount that the American people haven't agreed to is ridiculous at the end of the day. Because I got potholes that haven't been fixed.
We got people on the streets that can't walk that fought in the military.
Like, insane. And then we ask the most out of them and just say, all right, we need you to go here. We need you to go here. When does it stop, Rex?
That's a good question. You know, I don't think it stops until we get angry enough to politically nonviolently do something about it. I think that's what our show is about, advocating for solutions, because here's what they say. And this has been the narrative you see like during COVID, where they had like the newscast all saying the same thing about you must get the shot, like the exact same script. They're coming out now, exact same script, short term pain for long term gain. So everything you say, Tim, is not MAGA. It's incorrect to complain about it, to want a change, to want a government that actually works for you, because it's a short-term pain for a long-term gain, almost like 2 weeks to stop the spread.
No, and again, I don't think they know what they're talking about. What does short-term pain actually look like? Do we really know
people starving, people dying?
Do you really have that timer that says, okay, this is the amount of time that it's going to take for the American people to be able to take with that suffering?
Right.
Like, you don't have a timer for that. At the end of the day, people need a solution now. People are upset.
People voted for a solution 2 years ago. It's unbelievable. We both voted for him.
Both voted for him. Let me give you a quick background. I come from New York, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. It's as blue as you can get. I am African American, as you can see, and 95% of blacks vote for Democrats. If you messed up so bad during the 2020 era from 2020 to 2024, you know you messed up awful when you have a guy who was blue his entire life move towards the right and vote for Trump in the following election. Okay. So at that point, I thought he was going to be the solution.
Right.
So I'm just sick and tired of having to deal with, you know, just being smashed from one side and smashed to the other. Whoever comes in 2028 better get the script right, because the American people aren't going to take this much longer.
And you know what? I just realized that's why me and Tim get along so well, is we were both screwed by Trump. Right? That's why we do such a good show. I mean, if you can get me, someone that was literally campaigning for Trump when I was 15 years old, making videos, going to protests, being here at InfoWars, if you can get me to reject this administration, to be outraged by it, to demand a change, then like, what have you done? We were the base. You know, you're the independent voter that got convinced by the pro-freedom, pro-America message. You're like, hey, I want that in my country. I'm going to vote for it. Same exact thing. And look at what we got.
Yeah. And now we have to deal with the Democrats coming back into play. And at the end of the day, I don't want, you know, the same things that they were doing, pushing transgender and a lot of the wokeness that was happening during that time, deplatforming. I don't need that era to come back. So I don't know where this train ends up. I really don't know where this train ends up.
And that's why we're so happy to be doing media for you guys. It's why we're so happy to be tracking things, because 2026, 2028 and beyond, people are not prepared for the post-Trump world.
No.
I'm telling you, when he is not president anymore, and eventually they're all not president, even though he's been in the media cycle for over a decade, his political career is crazy. He may be the greatest politician to have ever lived, but there's going to be a time after Trump. And a lot of people that aren't actually trying to do real news, trying to do real media information, real journalism, they're going to fall by the wayside because it's just a grift. And we're here calling balls and strikes.
Calling balls and strikes, that is a very good saying there. And that is true. That is exactly what we're trying to do for you guys. That's what we're going to be doing going forward, hosting on the American Journal. We really appreciate the opportunity to be continuing doing this. So
we love you guys. Stay with us. We're going to be right back after the break doing more coverage. Tim Tompkins, Rex Jones, American Journal, X Gray Area, Gray Area Talks on X. Give us a follow.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Now, this is all over the place. Joe Rogan talks about it, I have for years. But here it is. Scientists and doctors figuring out now, the CIA knew in 62 that dewormers could reverse most cancers and didn't tell the public that's mass murder. Here it is.
My parasite medications work against cancer cells. And it turns out that the parasites use mitochondrial substrate level phosphorylation in the tissue. And these embendazole, fenbendazole kill these parasites. So I tried it on the cancer cell. And sure as hell, it targets the mitochondrial substrate and glycolysis. So we have a mechanism now why parasite medications are working. But cancer is not a parasite. All these people say, oh, cancer is a parasite. It's not a parasite. Parasites and tumors use a common metabolic pathway. And a drug that works against parasites can be very effective against cancer. And that's what we begin to see, especially under nutritional ketosis.
So to be clear, the anti-parasite drugs cut off the same mechanism in cancer, but we now know and have known that a lot of cancers from parasites, it's double good. And I don't sell that, but you can buy it online. And my medical doctor told me years ago, take this once a year as a regimen. I do. That's important information you might want to write down, folks, okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up. Go to the UN's own website. They admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world, has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Your Doc Chambers on, medical doctor, special forces colonel, army colonel. And I said, what do you think methylene blue? He goes, oh, I've been on this since 2004. When I got blown up in Iraq, I had brain damage because it blew away the sheath that's on my nerves. So I did research and found out that they had studies going back over 100 years on methylene blue helping regrow the sheaths on your nerves and all the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandershore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexandershore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexandershore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy. It skips the oxidation process in the cells, the methylene blue. And iodine works very similarly, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexandershore.com, and I thank you for your support.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with Tim Tompkins and Rex Jones. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Isn't that a beautiful sound? We love that music. We love being here with you in the morning, starting your day, whether you're taking a shower, driving to work, at work right now. Thank you so much for tuning in to us, Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins, covering the news.
Yes, we are. So what else we got? We got Lindsey Graham,
right?
Oh,
we got Lady G. We got a phenomenal, not phenomenal, demonic, really, Lady G clip. Lindsey Graham, of course, the combat lawyer he goes, because he is a veteran, but he never served in combat or anything like that. He was a pogue.
We did Iwo Jima. We could do this.
Yeah, exactly. We did Iwo Jima. We could do this. Now, we're going to get into that. We're going to play the clip right now. But keep in mind, we lost 7,000 men in Iwo Jima. Some units suffered over 75% casualty rates, and over 20,000 men were wounded. So is that a price we're willing to pay to defeat the religious Nazis, as he calls them? Because he says the Ayatollah, the Mullah, it's moo.
Well,
like
you
a cow.
See, my sons are not going to be on the front line.
I don't have any. My rent boys will be just fine. But we're going to go ahead and play the clip now. Lindsey Graham talking about war.
Running out of money. So here's what I tell President Trump. Keep it up for a few more weeks. Take Karg Island, where all of the resources they have to produce oil. Control that island. Let this regime down a vine.
Is this going to, though, take Karg Island? Is it going to involve U.S. troops on the ground? Let me just read you something from the Atlantic. Does an assessment on that. They say U.S. troops may well take Karg Island. We believe in their ability to do so, but only to endure ballistic missile strikes, drone attacks, petrochemical smoke, all without a reliable means of obtaining logistical support. The result could be a grinding war of attrition. They talk about how far away they would be from resupply.
I'm sort of tired of all this armchair quarterback, and this has been an amazing military operation. God bless the fallen.
Pause. But it's a difference when we talk about
God bless the fallen.
He's like, shout out to the dead, R.I.P.
It's not my family, so shout out to the dead.
How do people in South Carolina vote for this guy? The callous just like, oh, American's dead. It is what it is. Shout out to the fallen, though. And I know he says God bless or whatever. He might as well be spitting in the face of God when he says
that. Yeah, he doesn't believe anything that he's talking
about. No, absolutely not. He's a total liar. But people will be okay with this on the neocon side. They will say, well, if it's price we got to pay to take out the Nazis, they've been killing Americans for 47 years. Ultimately, who blew up the elementary school?
But this is all that like Cold War talk, man.
The Cold War never ended.
Look at his age. At the end of the day, he grew up in an era where everything was about war. Everything was about conflict. Everything was about, okay, there's a bad guy and we're the good guy. We're no longer in this World War II, you know, post-Vietnam era where people are still feeling nationalistic to go to war. I mean, they're struggling to get recruitment numbers.
They're not fighting for anything. Ultimately, they're fighting for American empire and, you know, foreign governments, Israeli interests when they're in this conflict. I mean, you just jogged my memory when you said that. You know, George W. Bush gave a speech where he declared that we had won the Cold War. You see, that's the problem. The problem is we can't sit in negotiation. We can't sit in peace. We can't allow anybody else to have a win ever.
No. And at the same time, we didn't have to go to war with Russia.
No.
They wanted to be our allies in the 90s. But then
tried to join NATO twice.
Tried to join NATO, right? But when the United States had the ability to take advantage once the Soviet Union broke apart in the 90s, we were like, well, what's the easiest way to get them into capitalism? Well, we'll just sell all the assets. And then they made inflation go up extreme.
The economic hitmen, all
of it. And the average Russian was suffering. And then that was when we also promised, okay, we won't be expanding NATO.
Yes.
What happened to that? We ended up adopting 12
more. 12 more countries joined NATO after 1991. The Russians dissolved their Soviet Union. They dissolved their Warsaw Pact. We didn't do the same thing. And someone like Lindsey is very proud of that, right? And that all these politicians, this is the problem. And we know we've got a lot of older people in the audience. We love you. We respect you. We thank you for tuning in with us. These politicians that are 70, 80 years old, they do not need to be in office. They need to leave.
They need to go.
Absolutely. We'll play the rest of the clip. Lady G.
Troops on the ground.
I trust the Marines, not that guy. Mm-hmm. I trust DOD. We got two Marine expeditionary units sailing to this island. We did Iwo Jima. We can do this. The Marines, my money is always on the Marines. I don't know if you take the island or you blockade the island, but I know this. The day we control that island, this regime, this terrorist regime, has been weakened. It will die on a vine. And here's what I want to do. I want to get with Chris. I want to sprint to peace. As the war winds down, I want peace to ramp up. The reason we don't have Saudi Arabia and Israel making peace is October the 7th, 2023, Iran through Hamas attacked Israel, stopping normalization. I want to take up and complete what Biden started. As soon as we get Iran defanged so they can never do another October 7th, I want to start up peace talks between Saudi and Israel this year. I want a peace deal between Saudi and Israel normalizing.
All right, that's enough for Lady G. That's more than enough for Lady G. So he wants peace. He wants the quickest path to peace, but also he's giddy about the two Marine expeditionary units that are going to die, and he compares it to Iwo Jima, where he lost 7,000 troops.
Well, here's the thing people need to keep in the back of their mind. He's not signaling to you and I back at home. There's somebody in the back room watching him, and he's like, I got to make this guy proud. Because
you're right. He's staying on mission.
He's staying on mission. There's somebody who said, okay, you need to stick with the program. Otherwise, you're out. And so when he talks about these things, he's just trying to position himself to be in his position of power, to have all the financial gains that he gets from being in his position. All of these different things are just to stay within the ecosystem. And he's not signaling to the average person.
It's really an indictment on the American voting public that something like this doesn't make you unelectable, because he's been doing this for years. Okay. And it's really an indictment on Trump for endorsing him multiple times. Now, keep in mind, a lot of people might not remember this. Lindsey Graham ran against Donald Trump. He was one of the very first casualties in the 2026 election. He didn't even get on the debate stage or anything like that. I think he pulled it like 1%. And then he just like, I'm not doing this. I'm going to go leave. and then he left. But this is like the quintessential never Trumper. All these people, Mark Levin was a never Trumper. Ben Shapiro was a never Trumper.
JD was a never Trumper.
The thing is, Trump has this pathological need to be liked, and ultimately he surrounded himself with the people that have always hated him the most, and people that really love, supported, cared about him from a grassroots level. He's like, well, I already have your love. I don't have to earn it anymore. Are you okay with that, America?
Yeah. Are you okay with that? And when you step out of line or you no longer validate him,
right,
we see what happens. You get pushed out very quickly.
That's right. You're dead to me, Marjorie Trader Brown, because grass turns brown when it turns to poop. It's the expletive, but I won't say it on air. It's just, it's so crazy, man.
Like, it is so crazy.
Well, this is like a clown college, okay? This is like a dog wash or something. Like, this is the same level of ingenuity takes place in Washington. In fact, the people doing those jobs are probably far more capable.
Well, think about the jobs themselves, right? We don't hire based off of merit anymore.
No.
It's who are you buddies with? Who is the guy that you know that you did business prior to being in office? Let's just take him in. I mean, what does Pete Hegseth know about
Fox News
about the head of the Pentagon and knowing how to do the things that are required for that role?
That's such a great point. I want to come in there, because Trump often says this about people. I've heard him say it about Hegseth numerous times. He goes, you're straight from central casting, which means like, okay, so it's all an act. It's all a performance. It's all a game. It's all about perception and media perception. And like I was watching The Apprentice, you know, like a few months ago, and it's the same exact thing. He wants to come out of the door and be like, ooh, it's Trump. You know, yeah. Just work for us, man. Just do the things you promised to do, but you can't do that.
And not to just stick on, you know, criticizing Trump. Democrats did the exact same thing throughout the last time they had their administration in power. It's all we ever get. And everyone's sick and tired of it.
And that's the problem. It's all we ever get, and there's nowhere you can go to vote against it.
No. Third parties won't win. I mean, Roosevelt tried to do that, and what happened? I mean, Bull Moose Party got the furthest we've ever done. I don't know if we ever get to a point where it gets that far.
I think we look at 2024, and even though he ran as a Democrat initially as an independent, RFK getting about, you know, like 10% of the population, 11% of the population. I think, and like we talked about last segment on the post-Trump era, I do think we're going to see dark horse candidates, maybe like a Massey, an MTG, maybe like a McConaughey or something like that. Mm. You know, who knows who will run?
McConaughey.
He said he might do it before. Mm. But like, here's the thing. We've looked at these. Let's think about the fields of the electorate, right? Or the fields of candidates that were available. In 2016, you have this massive Republican field, and you got a few Democrats, and then Hillary gets elevated, Bernie gets screwed, whatever. In 2020, you have this huge field of Democrats, and eventually they select Joe Biden, Bernie gets screwed again. Then in 2024, you have Trump competing against a whole mess of people.
Yep.
And then he wins again, just like he won the primaries the first time. And you got kind of the selected candidate, Kamala. So there isn't a deep bench on either side anymore where you can do that, because everyone knows these people are evil.
Yeah. And the only reason why Biden got in was because he was tied to Obama, and everybody loved him. Well, not everybody, but the Democrats.
Obama was far more likable than Trump or Biden. You people still like Obama because they remember him as a moderate, even though he wasn't. Well, so like the perception does matter.
And that's why I think the next guy that comes in 2028 needs to go back to that more presidential I wouldn't say like too politically correct, but there's just a certain aura that you need to bring to the table.
Well, we want professionals. We want professionals that do the job. I spend a lot of time watching channels like Judge Napolitano or Dialogue Works, and they'll have these like 70, 80 year old professionals that were in the cabinet in the 20th century. Mm-hmm. And they look at it and they just say like Washington is a ship of fools.
Yep.
And like we don't have serious people.
You got candidates screaming. You've got people in parliament that are just, in Congress that are just sitting there yelling at each other. And it looks like a case of Judge Judy these days.
You stand up, I'll fight you right now.
the Mark Wayne Mullen guy, the guy who's the new DHS head. Yeah, it's so ridiculous. I mean, look at that guy, for example. He thought it was okay when Ron Paul got attacked by a vicious leftist, or Rand Paul got attacked by a vicious leftist and had his ribs broken, had like a flayed chest, basically. He's like, I understand why that happened to you. He like celebrates it, and these are thugs. They're because that's who the lobbyists want to work with. They just want someone that's like dumb, controllable, and proud of it too.
Yeah, and so now I want to get into something where
sure.
We look at all the problems overseas, but we're not focused on the immediate issues that we have on at home. And one of the main things that everybody's dealing with right now is the whole TSA, Department of Homeland Security.
Absolutely.
Can we go ahead and pull up a clip that shows what these TSA lines look like these days? Because why are we doing all of this when we can't even get our own house in order?
Excellent point. Let's go to clip 22. No, it's all good. The thing we have to remember about this is like we were at a point 20 years ago where like I remember going through the airport, like my dad would basically fight the TSA people. And now America is so cowed, like we're just like, we need our TSA, we need to be able to fly. But we do need to be able to fly. And we don't want these damn planes to fly out of the sky either, which we see on record massively. I mean, Boeing is falling apart. All these great companies are falling apart because like you were talking about, Tim, it's not a meritocracy anymore. Well, we're a plane company. What do? Oh, we don't make planes. We make money.
Yes. And let me just explain a little bit what's going on with the Department of Homeland Security and give you guys a quick summary. So, you know, the Department of Homeland Security has been not funded since February 13th through the 14th of this year, right? And you see those lines, right? That imagine going to the airport thinking you're going to get on your flight that goes in 2 hours and you actually are in a 4-hour line and you miss your flight. That would piss me off. So, I mean, that means TSA is working, but they've been doing it without pay. And we saw how that went last time. So now why DHS is not being funded is because the Republicans and Democrats are in a deadlock over the immigration policy. It's a little different than last time, right? So the Democrats don't want to approve DHS funding without higher limits to oversight agencies like ICE, because you saw all the stuff with Minnesota, right?
And it's all this damn spending package stuff that goes through Washington. All the special interests, they got to have their piece of the bill. They won't approve it until they get their $1 billion or whatever. And then you sit at home hungry, unable to pay your bills. Let's go ahead and roll the clip because you can't even go to the airport anymore.
Mm-hmm.
President Trump posted on Truth Social, quote, if the radical left Democrats don't immediately sign an agreement to let our country, in particular our airports, be free and safe again, I will move our brilliant and patriotic ICE agents to the airports where they will do security like no one has ever seen before. Now, in a subsequent post, he said that he instructed ICE agents to be ready by Monday. And now the president is saying that you, sir, are going to be in charge. How is that going to work? Are ICE agents going to move into American airports starting tomorrow, Monday?
Yes. And I'm currently working on the plan now of execution, working with the director of ICE and the administrator at TSA, the acting administrator. So we'll put together a plan today and we'll execute tomorrow.
Okay, so there are a lot of questions here. First of all, are ICE agents even remotely trained to handle security at airports?
ICE agents receive high-level training. And, you know, the ICE agents are assigned at many airports across the country already. They do a lot of criminal investigation on smuggling at airports. But, you know, you got TSA agents covering exits, you know, people that enter through the exits. You know, certainly a highly trained ICE law enforcement officer can cover an exit, makes people don't go through those exits, enter the airport through the exits. And that stuff like that relieves that TSA officer to go to screening. And to reduce those lines. So wherever we can provide extra security. I don't see an ICE agent looking at an x-ray machine because we're not trained in that. There are certain parts of security that TSA is doing that we can move them off those jobs and put them in the specialized jobs, help move those lines.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. So what you're saying is when you move ICE into airports, they are going to be just around the exits and the exteriors. They're not going to be helping people
even
get
worse
through the lines and screening people's bags.
Those discussions are going on now. I'm not an expert at TSA, so I
come back
to
yeah, come back
TSA
to us. Right, I got something quick. I know you're going to lay down the law here, Tim. My collar's blue, my neck is red. I've been working like a dog just keep my family fed. And like you go to the airport and you're like, well, you know, Trump has the military police outside and I just have to deal with it because, you know, I'm not going to still pro-Trump. I'm not trying to insult you in the audience, but do you not see how ridiculous this is? They're going to have the police state, the military police people in the airport scanning your bags, patting down your wife, standing outside the airport. And if you're like, Rex, don't sound MAGA, I have to listen to the show. He insulted me. This is the stuff I listened to as a kid when I was like 5 years old. I listened to my dad talk about the police state. That's what this is. And you're going to tell me, Tim, that the American voting public is going to be like, I like having ICE at the airport. Hell no.
Well, and the thing that you need to pay attention to at the very beginning of the conversation, he's like, we're having a meeting about this today and we're implementing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tomorrow. That is the exact thing that I was talking about earlier.
It's crazy.
Knee-jerk reactions. They have no idea the long-term implications. I thought ICE was supposed to be for all of the illegal immigration that came in, the 20 million that crossed the border. What happened to that?
Oh, but you see, Tim, immigration and customs enforcement. So they're going to say, well, we're supposed to do customs enforcement. We're just helping out. We're just a cog in the system, man, but it's not, okay? And I reject this. This is disgusting.
I think the worst part for me is I can see the incompetence on his face, right? He sits there and he tells you, we're kind of figuring out something right now. But what it is you've got a bunch of people at the top in meetings and just having a conversation and thinking that they know how everything operates. Let me tell you something real quick. I know a lot of people probably work a 9-to-5, have worked in a corporation. I definitely have. I worked as an engineer. A lot of the time that goes wrong in a lot of these companies is management gets together. They think, okay, well, we know exactly how our company is run, and they have no idea what the ground level looks like. So they're like, okay, we're going to move this around, we're going to move that around, and we're going to put this person here, and then they end up making a mess out of it.
You just dunked on the great Tom Homan. I got to say, I agree. And everyone's like, you don't know a hundredth of the work he's done trying to protect the country. Okay. We were promised mass deportations. How many deportations this year? 300,000. How many people came under Biden alone last 4 years? 20 million. Okay, so we're allowed to demand results from the people that get elected or the people that are appointed to these positions. You work for us. And, you know, the thing I like about our show so much is we're harshly critical of these people because these people work for us. They're our employees.
Yes.
Okay? And, like, it's this celebrity hero worship that always goes, not my Tom Homan, he's my number one. Here's the thing. He's supposed to work for us. You like him because he promised to do that.
100%. We are the ones that pay their bills at the end of the day. That comes from your taxes. That comes from my taxes.
That's right.
That comes from Rex's taxes.
That's right.
That is the thing that keeps them supposed to be moving, and they're supposed to be acting on our best interest.
Don't you insult them, Bunch. You know, he's my main man. He's my main guy. And, like, you see this stuff all day and all night on social media, and we criticize these people because they need to be doing a better job.
Now, let me give you some more context to this of why this is going to continue to go on, because the reason why the Republicans are pushing back is because Trump is involved here. So what Trump is making demands of is he does not want this bill approved unless they accept this proof of citizen voter bill.
Right.
So let me just cover a little bit of what that is. So basically what this bill and what they're trying to do with that is it would make it hard for people who are illegal to actually be able to vote. So,
talking about the SAVE Act.
Yes. So like a U.S. citizen basically has to provide proof that they're voting in federal elections. So
that is important.
Yes. That's documentation, like a passport, like a birth certificate. And then how the registration changes, new voters would generally show proof to a person before registering instead of easier methods that many states are using now. And the thing is why the Democrats are mad about this is because they say,
Well, you could block or delay a bunch of Americans from voting because there are people that don't have those documentations in place, or they've lost them, or they don't, or it's a lot harder for them to get that type of paperwork. But I mean, you should have your birth certificate. Everyone should have their birth certificate.
This is the thing. How do you feel about this? You're a black guy. How do you feel when someone says, "Oh, you can't get an ID"? Because black people don't know how to get IDs. Democrats say this all the time. Like, this is a common talking point.
They've made it easier than ever. And if you can't get your birth certificate, you go to the town hall. They basically can give you a copy of wherever you were born. For some people, it's an inconvenience, but the vast majority have some sort of ID. If we don't have verification of ID, then what are we doing here? Have we lost the script? Like, how do you, if you don't have verification, you can just walk in and be like, well, I decided to vote for Biden today.
It's like Joe Biden famously said, black people don't have computers and stuff like that. Like, people don't live in the woods. Okay. People live in civilization and society. And ultimately you can get documentation to participate in the election.
And even if you can't, spend some money getting a program that actually allows people to do that and show people how to get access to
it. Maybe
that.
We spend some of the war money on that. Oh, we can't do it. We can't give everybody a
free ID.
Absolutely
not.
That's such a great example, man. Let's go ahead and plug to close out the hour. I want to touch on that at the bottom of the next hour because that's such a phenomenal point there you make. Here's the thing. If we don't blow, we don't stay on air. You got to go to the alexjonesstore.com. You got to get the best supplements, the best methylene blue, the best metabolic ingredients, the best longevity ingredients, just the best products in general. I'm really proud of the things that we've developed, and now we have some of the classic products back in stock. If you were one of the original people back in the day on the network that took our phenomenal iodine, we have that back in stock for you. You want T3 trifecta iodine. You want the methylene blue. And let me tell you about two new products right now. Could we get the Power Drive bundle up on the screen? This is something that I collaborated with Bigly. The Power Drive bundle. And what those two products are, what those two supplements are supplements designed to perfectly work with methylene blue. You have Methyl Drive, which has highest quality, high dose CoQ10 and PQQ to increase mitochondrial biogenesis, to increase ATP, to increase mitochondrial function in conjunction with methylene blue. And then you've got Power Plant. If you miss Super Mineral Vitality, I've got something even better. Let me tell you about this right now. I didn't even use any of the super strong LH mimetic herbs to make this, which rise your testosterone really quick, but quickly makes it crash down. I use the highest quality mineral blend, high quality boron, high quality zinc, most bioavailable efficacious doses combined with Rhodiola rosea, also known as golden root, which is literally a Viking adaptogen. It does kind of the same thing ashwagandha does, lowers your cortisol, increases your hormones because of that. Cortisol is fed by cholesterol. It switches the food source into making your hormones instead of to making the stress hormone.
Well, let me give some
you
personal.
You took it, didn't you?
Yeah, you got me to take Power Plant. People don't know, but I'm very conscious about what
I put
in my
body.
Very,
very conscious.
Prior to, I don't really take supplements because I always had a fear around them that they would be bad. But, you know, Rex broke it down for me and I saw and I did my own research. I looked into the ingredients of what were in Power Plant and essentially came to the conclusion these are things that your body needs at the end of the day.
That's right.
And for me, when I started taking it, you know, it took a minute, but then I realized my body just had to get adjusted and it just completely changed. Like my cognitive function started changing. I felt like I had more life. And at the end of the day, you know, you got to look at these things and understand that all of the supplements that these guys are giving to you is keeping the lights on in this place. But at the same time, they're trying to create that 360 win in which they are giving back to the viewers themselves. And that is a big thing for me.
Absolutely. Other people do a show to sell you a product. We sell a product to do a show. That's the way it's always been. A lot of people have copied InfoWars over the years. But let me tell you right now. 30% off site-wide, no discount code needed. Enter to win the Ford Mustang GT500. Enter to win the 2025 Ford Raptor. Every $1 spent, 100 times the entries to win both. And we've got the iodine 50% off. You're part of the VIP program. We really appreciate you. We really love you. We're going to be back soon, but keep in mind, everything on the store right now is discounted. 30% off site-wide. If you haven't ever tried the iodine, if you haven't ever tried the methylene blue, and if you're looking for more Super Male Vitality, I encourage you to check out Power Plant and Methyl Drive.
Hey, those Ford Mustangs are sweet.
Pretty damn cool. We'll be right back.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
To that and then come back with the deep dive. Thank you for being with us on the American Journal.
I think that Iran, if we didn't bomb them with the B-2 bombers, now that's not a fact, but if we didn't hit them with the B-2 bombers, they would have had a nuclear weapon within 2 weeks to a month. And if they had a nuclear weapon, they would have used it as soon as they got it.
Did you have a nuclear site last summer with your strike, and how can you argue it's an imminent threat now?
Oh, we hit them so hard, we obliterated them. But that doesn't mean with the right equipment, you can't dig down and go get it. We don't want that, and we won't have that. But we obliterated that site. They still haven't been able to get it. That was a complete success. But if it wasn't, they would have had, if we didn't hit them, if we didn't use the B-2 bombers, which are unbelievable, we just ordered 22 more of them, modern version, by the way, super modern version. If we didn't hit them with the B-2 bombers, they would have had, within 2 weeks of that attack, that's why we hit them, because we knew they would have had a nuclear weapon. They would have used it on Israel and the entire Middle East.
Mr. President, overall crime in Memphis is down 43% since you began this task force. Is this a template you think is
working? This was a little bit before, set up a couple of weeks ago. This was before we had this situation with Iran take place last night. And by the way, they're just not committed. When they say, I'm sure they don't mean that. When somebody says, oh, I didn't know you were coming. We were talking last night. And I'm sure they have a lack of communication, which is appropriate considering we blew up, in addition to their Navy, Air Force, every division, their radar, we also blew up all of their anti-aircraft and communications. So they have no telecommunication. So there is a lack of, I would imagine, a lack of
force. If you're worried about the missing,
we think all we can do is think, look, we have numerous leader groups. They've all been killed. Very dangerous position. Khomeini was killed. Khomeini's son is unavailable. Nobody knows what happened to him. I can say they haven't seen him there either. Something is going on with him. But regardless, I don't consider him really the leader. But they do have some leaders left. Because we blew up group number one, group number two, a lot of group number three. But we think we have people that are very representative of the country and will do a good job in
Russia. Elon Musk is offered to pay TSA workers during this DHS shutdown. Is this something that you've been speaking to him about?
Yeah, I'd love it. I think it's great. Let him do that. And I want to thank ICE because they stepped in so strongly. They'll do great. And if that's not enough, I'll bring in the National Guard. We're not going to have the Democrats destroy our country. These people are the most destructive, sick people, the Democrats. They want, and they're fighting for this. They're fighting for men and women's sports. They're fighting for transgender for everybody. Everybody go out, get your kid a nice operation, and change the sex of your kid. They're fighting for, no, think of it. They don't want you to do voter ID. You walk into a booth in California. If a person who's doing voting, an official, asks you for identification...
Okay, that's not an argument. We're just listening to this, doing coverage. We'll go back to it. Ridiculous. Okay, absolutely insane. He claims total obliteration. He references the 12-day war with the B-2 bombers. If the nuclear threat was destroyed, why did we go in again?
Because it was never about the nuclear.
It was never about the nukes.
We've been playing that story for 25 years at this
longer,
point.
Yes. Longer,
and each administration has said the same thing. At the end of the day, we kind of already seen past that, and at this point, it's just we want to completely take the arms and limbs off of the Iranian administration. At this point,
their leadership is dead. I said 1, 2, 3, 4. I can't count that high, but they tell me the leadership is gone. I mean. Here's the thing. They have like a 7-tier system where if you whack that guy, the next guy comes. You whack that guy, the next guy comes. They have an entire religion based off martyrdom, fighting in battle, dying in battle. This ain't going to work out how you think it is, President Blump, but we're going to do coverage on it. The deep dive's coming up. Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins, stay live with us. We're going to be here for you guys.
The widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Today, honestly.
Yes, we are.
This has been a phenomenal segment so far, and we are about to get into something that we like to do on the gray area.
Deep dive.
It's called a deep dive. Like I mentioned at the beginning of the show, the deep dive is different than what other people are doing, in which we take a particular topic, something that has to do with something that interacts with you back at home, or just a deeper context. To
short and long term consequences, exposition, epilogue, all of it for these major events. People don't do that.
Yeah, and the whole point is just to arm you guys with knowledge, because knowledge is everything. A lot of the time, we go through a lot of humans just repeat the same patterns over and over again.
Sure.
And history always tells us what's right from wrong, what didn't work, what did work. And at the end of the day, it's everything.
Yeah, and then oftentimes we present these people be like, I knew that. Well, the point is, I learn something new every time we go over the information, because we may claim to understand the Cold War, the petrodollar, Bretton Woods, all these things. But until you actually go through the minutia of everything that was involved, you can't see the forest for the trees. And that's where a lot of people are at. They're like, well, my wallet's empty. I'm hurting, but I'm in the rat race. I'm working. I'm in that pattern, like you say. They don't have that 30,000 foot view, that meta level argument. The deep dive.
Yeah. So let's just get right into it. What I want to talk about today is specifically everything that's happening with the oil crisis. Everyone's paying attention to the gas, but no one's actually paying attention to the supply chain and everything that's going to come and impact the average person back at home. So let me just walk you guys through a little scenario first, because this is a true story. So last week, a farmer in Arkansas picked up the phone. He ordered fertilizer for planting season, and he called three different dealers, and none of them would give him a price, right? So you're urea, which is a nitrogen fertilizer, which he spreads on his fields. He does, he puts it on everything. And that price had jumped $70 per ton in the morning,
wow,
going from $640 to $700, right? So the dealer stopped quoting because the market is moving too fast to actually commit a number.
Right.
And at the same time, his diesel costs are also blowing past his budget. And he's planned for $2.46 a gallon, but now it's a dollar higher than that. So
right,
he's looking at fertilizer. He can't price the fuel that he can't afford. And he also needs to be able to get his crops in the ground. So in the same week, most Americans, like I had said, we're talking about the news coverage about the gas prices going up. Gas prices aren't the real story. Let's go ahead and pull up this image showing what things diesel actually moves in the economy. It's that first, image in the file. So basically you got to think about when, about diesel, gasoline moves people. You need to you need me to restart it. Oh.
So to get into what you're saying, well, we're having a little bit of a technical difficulty here. Diesel powers the supply chain. It's involved in freight trucking, rail transport, maritime shipping, agriculture, construction, and power generation in general. So without diesel power, without the ability for these trucks to go to places cheaply to be able to deliver the food and the supplies and resources to people, you're going to see prices go up in retail. You're going to see prices go up. Food really go up in food. And transportation costs in general are going to skyrocket.
Yeah. So the thing that we need to pay attention to here is like he was talking about. So diesel moves the economy. You're talking about semi trucks delivering things to stores. You've got freight trains that are hauling grain materials. You've got tractors and harvesters on farms, excavators on cranes that are on construction sites. Those are also powered with diesels. And then also the cargo ships that are moving the goods across the oceans. So like most people drive cars that
right,
watch the gas prices, but the diesel is also on the sign. But unless you're a trucker or you're a guy who's a farmer, you're not paying attention to the diesel prices very often. And so when diesel spikes, the cost moves across everything. So let's look at the Strait of Hormuz. Let's pick up that picture real quick and actually show you guys the region that's in question. And actually, rather than doing that, I'm going to do my screen share if that's working, because this is going to be something that people want to see. And this is something that we made on the gray area.
Yes.
It's a visual map. Let me go really quick.
We're working on a whole bunch of really cool digital items for you guys to consider. We've got a really phenomenal journal, a newsletter of our own. We're working on interactive maps, interactive timelines, where you can track these events as they progress and see causation.
Yeah, and this is something that we're going to be coming out with, but this is kind of like our global risk command, where you can kind of see the sequence of events. You've got, we can jump across the map and see what happened during Operation Fury Start. But the region that I want to specifically pay attention to is the Strait down here. Everyone knows about the Strait, and this is a 29-mile-wide area in which everything is being choked out. And I know a lot of people know this already, but it is significant at the end of the day. You can cut back to me, and we can go back to the other stuff here. So the thing that we need to pay attention to when it comes down to the Strait is specifically 20 million barrels of oil come through that region.
Right.
And then the world uses about 100 million barrels per day, and one-fifth of that is squeezed through this single checkpoint. So, you know, if the pipelines that bypass the Strait of Hormuz can handle about 2.6 billion barrels, that's the one that's not actually going through the Strait. That's 13% of what flows through the Strait. And if the Hormuz closes, then nothing else can pass through. And that is a big problem. Now, the thing that we need to pay attention to is not just the oil, but the insurance itself.
Absolutely, because they won't insure. They your tanker's going to get hit. Your refinery's going to get hit. We're not going to insure this product.
Yeah, we're not going to insure this
product. That's causing the real market collapse.
Yes, and the thing about it is, like, okay, every ship sailing through this region needs what is called a war zone war risk insurance. It's a policy that covers damage from military action and terrorism. And here's the thing. During a crisis, the coverage jumped 5% of the ship's value. So $100 million tanker that cost, it can cost $5 million just to insure that one trip.
Right.
And 5 million is not just a small chunk
and
of change.
I saw they were demanding as much as 80% of their cargo.
Yes.
In sales value.
Yes.
For transport. And yeah, that's just that you're not going to do it.
Oh, and in some deals, premiums hit 15 to 25% of cargo value. And that's the biggest problem here because, those prices make
the owners. They pass them on to the consumer.
They pass it on to the consumer. Now let's look at the flow chart, because the flow chart is super important here. Let's pull up the first flow chart and kind of walk you guys through how this really works.
Is that going to be shock price price moves pass through? Is that what that's going to be? Day zero versus month 6 to 18?
Yes, that's going to be that first chart. Let's pull that up for
And this
for
is the thing, we're going to get better at presenting to you guys. We're already doing a good job. We really love you guys watching the deep dives on American Journal.
Yeah, and the whole point of this is I wanted to give everybody a better realistic standpoint. So here's what happens, right? So you got the first path, which is you got the event. Then the insurance jumps, and then you've got the ship's detour or stop. And then the first path here is you're looking at the ship's rerouting from Africa, which is a 2 to 3 week voyage. And then when that happens, you've got oil that in the refinery delays, and then that causes another thing where the diesel prices also increase, and then trucking and farming and construction costs start to rise. And then you also have then after that, the store cost rises. And that's just one chain. The other part on the bottom is talking about the fertilizer itself. So when the actual energy prices jump, then you have the fertilizer that rises, and then that leads to planting or cuts, or and that has a higher impact as well. But both of those things yes. end up leading to the end where retail prices rise.
You know what this is, Tim? What you've just displayed, kind of like a cookbook of like how you'd make a chocolate cake or something. This is a cookbook for the new Great Depression.
Yes. Both paths lead to you having higher prices, and that's the thing that you have to pay attention to. And they're not covering that enough. They're just talking about gas prices. So that is the one thing.
You're not hearing this anywhere else, guys. Why is that? Ask yourself.
You know why? It's because the more information you have, the more likely you are to revolt and have certain situations. These are the things that they don't want you paying attention
to. It's not a part of the approved programming.
So now we have a real world scenario in 2022 where we can actually see this scenario playing out because we had the Russian-Ukraine war, right?
Yes, it's our own Russia-Ukraine conflict.
100%. Now, Russia invaded, the energy markets went crazy, and you had diesel that went up from $3.61 in January to $5.81 in June, which is a 61% jump. Now, fertilizer also went up 89% from 21 to 2022.
Wow.
That's an insane jump. And then food prices at the same time rose 10.4%. And then you had cereal that raised up 16.1. You had dairy up 15%.
Yeah.
And that wasn't random inflation. That was the diesel. That was the fertilizer. That was the shock to the land that your food is actually planted on and that hits your breakfast table.
That's right. And here's the thing. These companies, they're going to make more money. They're going to make more money charging you more because they're just going to pass the costs on to you. It's the person at the bottom. It's the little guy that feels all these things, right? So we're not oil executives. We're not AI executives. We don't get to go to the White House. We're just the people at the grocery store. And I've watched when I was a kid or when I was like a teenager, you could buy bison for $5.50 a pound. Now it's $20. You think about something like that. Same
insane. Insane. It's not sustainable. It's not sustainable.
No.
I mean, and there's no way to stop it because the farmers, the people who process the food, they also have to keep their lights on. They have to be able to actually afford. So they have no choice.
Yes.
But it's some guy who's sitting all the way up at the top who has no relation and has no impact. Whether beef cost him $10 more does not mean anything to that guy.
It's also the little guy gets choked out. The little guy can't afford the fertilizer. Little guy can't pay the taxes, can't afford to pass the cost on to you without losing his business. The big company is just fine. And that's what we see. They don't look out for the little guy. It's a monopoly. It's a corporate monopoly we have in this country. We need antitrust action now.
No, you're right. And that monopoly comes from these situations where the shock happens. From 2008 to 2007 was a situation that made all the prices go out of control. But if the little guy can't afford to keep operating, the big guy comes in and says, hey,
I'll just buy it.
We got a deal for you here. We'll buy you up for pennies on the dollar and basically absorb you into our massive corporation and still make money at the end of the day.
And that's the most anti-American ethos thing in the world. It's like you're from the North, but in the South, we have the concept of the carpetbagger, right? Mm-hmm. The person that comes to the destroyed area and says, I'll buy it all up. I'll give you a little pittance for everything you own. And that's like the most disgusting Southern archetype that there is.
It is. It is disgusting. Now, let's look at one other chart here. Let's go to the household cost chart here because this is the thing that people need to pay attention. These are the numbers. I love getting into the numbers. These are the things that you should be paying attention to because this can actually affect you back at home. And at the end of the day, if you look at the numbers, they seem shocking. but they're also not shocking because we've already been through certain scenarios where we've experienced.
We're used to the abuse. We're used to the abuse.
Used to the abuse. So now let's put dollars on this. So we've got a scenario.
You got those costs, which are pretty crazy.
Yeah, we've got a scenario here. Let's take a look.
You want me to
read
some of these real quick?
Yeah, the first one. So this is how diesel and fertilizer is affecting you. So we got groceries at home. The real spending base is about $6,053. And these are 2022 prices, by the way. As soon as fertilizer and diesel went up, you had food prices go up 11.8%. That's about $714 in extra costs. You had restaurant takeout. A lot of people, their baseline spending for that is $3,900. What ended up happening? 8.3%. That's an extra $300 to your pocket. Housekeeping. There's some people who can't do housekeeping. There are other people that do that. That's an extra $55 after that. You've got, household goods. $2,500 is the baseline. Goes up 6.7%. Same thing with the freight. Goes up another 6.6%. And you can just see how these stack on top of each other.
They nickel and dime you to death. And these ain't nickels and dimes. These are big dollar amounts. We played that clip of Misfit Patriot. We'll play it in the third hour again. Literally laughing about the gas price, saying, huh, what is it, an extra $30, $40 a week? I can afford that. You're not willing to pay the price to get the religious Nazis gone? And it's like, well, people can't eat, man. Like, you're not a poor family. You know, ultimately, you're not struggling to make ends meet. You're on Twitter. So like, how, are you not ashamed of yourself or stuff like that? And the people that push that propaganda, people on the ground, they can't afford an extra $700.
No. And like I said, these stack on, I'm only covering the surface level of some of these things. You're talking about every single thing that comes through your household, guys.
Everything
goes through some sort of system where this is getting an extra cost tacked on top of it. So even if it seems like it's, oh, well, it's just $50 here, it's $20 there, pretty soon you look at, okay, well, I've bought maybe 50 things over the course of a month, and all of that goes into your wallet. And then you just look at the stack, and it's like, wait, how did I just spend an extra $400 this month? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, and they do this demonic compromise with you, and they're like, it's worth it. Short-term pain, long-term gain. We got to do it for the country. But, you know, I thought a country was its people. And we don't do anything for the people of the country. But go ahead, continue.
Yeah, let's go to the second chart that talks about the range and shows the estimates. Because this is going to show, like, a scenario 5, 20, and 50%. This is basically kind of saying, like, oh, okay, let's talk about a scenario in which – the Strait of Hormuz situation holds, and these are going to be 2026 numbers, by the way, not 2022. But these are, like, let's say there's a 5% shock to the market. It's a brief scare, tensions flare. Your cost is going to be anywhere between $68 to $209 that are going to be absorbed. If it goes up to a 20% shock, you're looking at from a low estimate of $271 to $834. Severe shock. This is the one that scares me the most. You could see an upwards increase in your cost going to $2,085. That is something that is not to be played with. And we're somewhere in the mild to moderate, maybe, but if we continue going down this path and, you know, Trump follows through with his 48-hour, you have 48 hours to comply, otherwise we're going to bomb you, which he's saying he's reverting back on that now.
But
right?
We already hit him though. We hit the power as well. So it's 1 foot in, 1 foot out. It's like, I want to have my cake and eat it too. We don't live in this world. And ultimately, like the clips we played in the first hour of Scott Bessent and others talking about the economy, it's like they think that they have a remote control. And they can just turn the TV off, turn it on, turn the TV off, turn it on. And you have like this super delicate, like saltwater fish tank aquarium.
Yep.
And he's like, oh, just turn it off, turn it off, turn it off, turn it off. And it's like, well, the fish are going to die and the coral is going to die and it's going to be disgusting green monster algae pit.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, you know, we control it. So it's okay. And if it breaks, we can fix it. You're in a short-term pain, long-term gain. Pain implies something is broken. Because pain is a stress response.
The worst part about this isn't some like short-term pain. If any of the costs go up, they go up quickly. It takes an extreme amount of time for prices to ever come back down, if they ever. Food prices rarely ever come down.
All right.
Almost never. Rent is a little bit of a different situation, but we got to talk about who's profiting. Because somebody is at the end of the rainbow collecting the big pot of gold. And
Leprechaun.
Like, so, you know, when your cost goes up, we got people who are making big amounts of money. So war risk insurance, they're making big money on the
premiums. That's where the real money is.
You're talking about premiums jumping up from $50,000 to $5 million. And some people are forking up that amount of money. You got ship owners who set sail. Fewer ships willing to cross the strait means actually higher rates for some of the ships that are willing to risk it. And there are some people who are like, well, I want a bag out of this. So I'll cross the strait. I'll risk it. Those guys are making money. You got shipping lines. They add surcharges to it. They basically say, well, we'll keep the distance. We'll keep the difference even if the costs come lower, but you are going to pay a premium just for, sailing in the first place. We've got ports. Ports are also charging more. The detour route specifically, you've got Cape Town, you've got the Las Palmas. Those are traffic and there's higher congestions, and which means there's higher congestions means that there's more money that's going to be charged for ships going through these detour routes. It's just, isn't it crazy? It's just like everyone's kind of like, well, I'm going to make a little money off the top of this.
Well, sure. And, you know, it mirrors kind of exactly, again, because it is a very similar conflict, the Russia-Ukraine conflict. There's this huge narrative, especially in the EU, less so in America, talking about Putin's got the shadow fleet. He's got the shadow fleet. He's got the tankers. And what are, it's not like a chaos army coming out of a portal. It's not a shadow fleet. It's a Russian insured tanker. It's not insured by the West. So what you're going to see, I think, kind of in conjunction with the Chinese traffic and the Indian traffic through the Strait, is you're going to see Iran not attack ships that are insured by non-Western people going forward into the future. You can say that's not happening now. You can say the conflict's almost over. We're going to be in this for months and months and months. That's a prediction from me. That's a little futurism.
Yeah, we're going to be in this for the long haul. And at the end of the day, let me just wrap this up, because let me bring you back to where we started about this farmer in Arkansas who couldn't get fertilizer diesel. So again, we saw that the most people saw the headlines, but they were looking at the wrong number. And so here's what actually happens in the crisis. You got first the insurance spikes, then you got diesel spikes, then you got fertilizer spikes, then you got food prices, and then months later, actually construction costs will be going up at some point if this continues, because all of those things are required in order to actually build housing. Also, to do any repairs on a house.
Right.
That also requires construction. So if you're wondering why your house costs more, why your rent costs more sometimes, some of those costs can actually come from these situations that happened for a while, from a while ago.
You know what it all comes down to? Everything costs more. Everything will cost more, and it will continue to increase over time because we live in inflation, we live with tariffs, and now we live with the war. These are the prices we pay.
These are the prices we pay, and I'm done with this deep dive, but again, this is just a very high level. You can go very specific and go into all the granular things, but the main thing that you need to understand from all of this is we can ask for $200 billion.
Oh, yeah.
And people aren't batting an eye at that.
Sure.
You know, we go up in arms and we're like, well, George Floyd. And we go up in arms about, you know, ICE agents being in Minnesota.
Burn down the entire country.
Right?
Yeah.
These are the things that should be causing us to riot. And we're not doing
peacefully,
that.
Politically, nonviolently, metaphysically.
I am not trying to provoke or instigate a violence.
But these are consequences of what happens when the government pisses on its people.
Yes, and I'm just trying to point to a higher level thing here. Is like you got to pay attention to, okay, how are they allowing us to be angry at all these other things except for the thing that's actually affecting you back at home? It doesn't make any sense. And it's part of this bigger plan where they know. Yeah, I mean, as long as they can keep us divided, they can keep getting away with this. And I think I said this earlier. They have allowed us to be used to these high prices. And at a certain point, you get normalized to it.
Remember how cheap things used to be? Remember when $20 meant a lot?
I remember I could go get a meal for $10. $15 is the new $10.
I would even say 20 is the new 10.
I would even say 20 is the new 10.
Yeah, I mean, we've got pesos. You mean you can basically wipe your butt with our money now. That's what it's turned into. And that's how these people treat it. That's their monetary policy, is we can always just print more. And we sit in it. We have to deal with it like we talked about last time. That's such a great point. It would be incredibly cheap to just give everybody a free ID.
It would. But why would we?
Right? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Why just contribute to the rot of the system? I want to close things out here with a plug. We got a plug to stay on air. I want you to keep in mind, like I said last time, the trifecta iodine, T3 trifecta iodine is back on the alexjonesstore.com. This is a phenomenal product. If you are a VIP, it's half off, 30% off for everybody else. We've always done budget premium here. It's something that I'm proud of. It's something I've incorporated into my own supplement stores, my own business. I'm a manufacturer. I'm a shipper. I've worked in this industry all of my life. I know exactly how much things cost. And let me tell you right now, you're not getting a better deal. You're not getting a better bang for your buck than anywhere at the alexjonesstore.com. The alexjonesstore.com has the best subscription deals, has the best VIP program. And every time you spend money, you get entered to win vehicles. We got the Ford Mustang, Shelby GT500, the 2025 Ford Raptor, plus $20,000 in cash if you win the raffle. So keep in mind, every time you get something, you might end up on the show. And I've met a lot of people that come here to be on the show. They get to drive around in the car, hang out with Alex and the crew, really have them on the show, have a great time. This is about, like Tim said, creating a 360 win for you and us, keeping us on air, keeping you empowered with the best products, the best vitamins and minerals, the best supplements in the entire world. And I make that claim right now because I know it's true. I'm proud of it. This is why I do what I do for a living. I could never do anything else because I love it so much. You need, you want high quality products from the alexjonesstore.com. Go there today. Take advantage of the phenomenal deals. 30% off site wide. Get CoQ10. Get PQQ. Get Methyl Drive. Get Power Plant. Get all the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. Methylene Blue.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down, to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades. So they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3, and it's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Having that breakfast. Welcome back or welcome to the show, the American Journal X Gray Area, Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins. We just concluded a phenomenal deep dive where we went through the information. We talked about diesel price increases, supply chain price increases. We broke it down. We laid down the law. No one else presents that very basic, very simple information because they don't want you, the voter, to be informed.
It's everything. Information is absolutely everything. And at the end of the day, if there's anything that we can leave in terms of value for the listeners, it is specifically just giving you the numbers and giving you the context. And we're going to be doing more of these deep dives, by the way. We're going to be covering a lot of different things. Tomorrow, I want to cover about the $200 billion and all of the audits that we failed. You know, so there's a lot of things to cover, and there's just so much.
Absolutely. And as the situation develops, we will be monitoring it. We'll be monitoring the situation, causality, and things breaking on the ground. I want to get into some more topical stuff because we covered the Misfit Patriot video last night where he laughs in people's faces about the gas prices. I tweeted about it. It went viral. It got like 150K hits, like 5K likes. I tweeted about it again, the exact same video, because I was just like, I keep coming back to this train wreck. I mean, and these people that have this position where everything you just laid out, everything you just broke down, everything you just talked about, they laugh at it. And they're like, doesn't affect me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to me. And these people think they're still going to have jobs in media after this is developed, you know, for a couple of months.
You're going to lose audience like that.
It's crazy. But, you know, I think they do it because they're either brainwashed or they actually, like, they're masochistic. Like, they want the hatred. Because, like why else would you post a video like that where you're laughing at people that can't afford to go to work?
Yeah, there's nothing funny about it at the end of the day. Yeah. I mean, it's just because you're not in the situation or you probably don't have somebody close to you that's experiencing that, because I bet you he wouldn't be doing that if that was his mother.
Absolutely. That's a phenomenal point to make. Let's roll Misfit Patriot.
Oh my God, guys, I just filled up my truck and it was $80. Is that really worth taking out the world state sponsor of terrorism? Like, I mean, is it really worth it? I mean, I usually fill it up and it's like $60. I'm spending an extra $20. I fill up probably once a week, maybe like 1.5 times a week. That's like 30 extra dollars a week for the past like 3 weeks. I don't know. Like, what? Oh my God. Is that really worth killing the same people that funded the deaths of thousands of Americans? Yeah. Yeah, you fucking idiot. Yeah, it's worth it. You fucking
All right, go back to us.
All right, he has a potty mouth. We didn't realize how much of a potty mouth Mr. Misfit Patriot has. We've seen enough of it. He laughs in your face about the gas prices going up. He repeats the Fox News propaganda. This is a young boomer, is it not? Like, it's, they're making new boomers. It's a boomer factory.
Well, his parents were directly tied to that, I'm sure. He's learned a certain specific set of ideology. Whatever he's in, whatever echo chamber he's in is clearly allowing him to have these positions, but we don't subscribe to this, especially as the next generation.
Certainly
this stuff
not.
Doesn't keep going. We won't allow this stuff to keep going.
That's right. He's old. He's an old man. All these people are very old, and grandpa needs to have the phone taken from him. I mean, look at this guy. He's on the highway without a seatbelt on, videotaping himself talking about why the gas prices are funny.
Yeah.
And Darwin Award.
Yeah, and the thing is about the gas prices themselves. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, even as just a regular average American, it doesn't feel good to see your gas go up an entire dollar and
sure.
then know that it might only cost you $30 extra or $20 extra, but imagine how many times you actually have to go and fill your tank up. Some people, specifically even in California, they can't afford to live close to their job. Some people I'm seeing are commuting an hour and a half to work. Do you understand an hour and a half commute equates to you having to fill your tank up at least like every other day?
He's fine with people working for gasoline. That's what he's like. Yeah, you know, you're going to have to work several extra hours at your job. Hey, it's fine. I can deal with that influencer. Like, how do you, like, it's such an unrefined position, too. Like, we're here talking about cost, talking about prices, talking about the war, doing cost-benefit analysis, and he just goes up there and repeats drivel he's heard from Fox News.
Mm-hmm. What's our next video?
Oh, we got something even crazier. Now, that he's just laughing about the gas prices, whatever. We got this guy, Xavier Durusseau, or however you say his name, begging for Iran to be nuked. Let's go ahead and play this video. This guy's a PragerU influencer. That is going to be, let me look at the clip sheet. I got all my papers in a snarl here. That is going to be Mr. Xavier Durusseau, or however you say it. Let me find it. Influencer, where is it at? Influencer. Oh, man. No, it's not the Bongino clip. It's right under, it's on the second page of the Google Doc, if we're able to find it.
Yeah,
I don't see it on the clip sheet.
It's influencer calls for Iran to be nuked on the second page of that.
Yeah, if we can reference the Google Doc really quick, because this is really crazy, and this is a more common position than you'd think. These people are proud of wanting to destroy a nation of 92 million people. I addressed another clip of people criticizing my dad and others that are anti-war going, well, they don't want Iran to be destroyed. Do you think it's good for the world for an entire country to be destroyed? Do you think it's good for the, like that, when they blew up the oil depot, they created a toxic rain cloud that went over 10 million people and is going to go over two subcontinents.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, you're right. It's the actual, aftermath and all the radiation that spills over. You're going to affect Israel. You're going to affect people in East Asia, West Asia. All of that's going to affect that entire region. Nuclear options is never the final decision. It is like the ultimate decision you should never
and
have.
It's extremely unlikely, but you know, as there are more radicals and extremists, and as those radicals and extremists tend to hang out at Mar-a-Lago in the White House now, talking about the biblical apocalypse and the third temple and all of that. I mean, we get closer to this reality. Let's play the clip.
Iranian regime, you hoes do not want this smoke. Now free Iran and walk with me. So Polymarket Odds are saying that we are going to war with Iran very soon. So my message to the regime is do not get beside yourselves. I know y'all see the sassy man epidemic happening in America, but don't be fooled. We still have plenty of Republican men ready to come through with all the smoke. Google Florida man and any day, and that's exactly who we're having on your musty behinds. And the gag is, we're so advanced now that we could send our weakest links like White Dudes for Harris, and they can still control a drone to mutilate everything y'all got going on. We said we weren't going to take it as far as we did in Japan when we basically dropped two suns in them, but I'm not opposed to running that back. Y'all will really feel the impact of FAFOing, so please keep it cute.
Can we pause it real quick and just keep him up there real quick? Just
yeah, let's keep him up there.
Let's
just
keep him on
this
there
person.
For like a quick. I apologize on behalf of the black community on this one.
Oh no,
this is atrocious.
It's pretty wild.
Oh, perfect.
Oh,
Let's look at what he's got in his hand. He's got himself a little drink.
Probably $20 for that.
He's got himself Apple headphones, which those are $500. It's probably $1,000 pair of headphones.
This is
what it looks like to be detached. And I watched the neighborhood he's walking in, and he's walking by a bunch of these big, massive houses.
Big mansions, yes.
This guy is divorced from reality.
Right.
If he walked in Gaza or he was in one of these like war-torn countries, he is not going to have this position. I can't stand people like this. It's like, you don't understand how good we have it as Americans that we are completely far away from all of the conflicts that happen all across the world. You know, we have hedged ourselves against any sort of missile coming over our heads. Like, we don't even know what it feels like. I was walking yesterday. I'm watching the sunset. I'm watching kids play. Like, not everybody gets that.
Yeah.
And then you've got crazy, you know, I don't even know. Is he gay?
He's just a lunatic.
You got people like this going out there spewing out these messages, and it's honestly for clickbait. It's rage bait.
No.
You think he's serious?
Dude, he's a true believer, man. Here's the thing. This guy went over to Gaza. He went over to Israel. The IDF took him in, and they took him to that aid depot site where they never distributed the aid. It was literally just a filming center for people. They had all these influencers wearing like plate carrier body armor without the body armor actually in it, waddling around talking about like, yeah, all the food's here. They're not starving. All the food's here. Went on record. Even if you look at the lowest casualty estimates, there's been mass starvation in Gaza.
You know what we got to do? We got to start a program, an exchange program.
We trade
these people and give somebody who's in a really bad situation a chance to live in America and see how that person feels. Because at the end of the day, this person does not deserve the things that he's given. He's buttered his top, you know, he's got all the things, he's got the outfit, he's got the warm clothing, and he's taking it for granted. That's what I see when I look at this photo.
It's literally like someone from the Hunger Games from the Capitol or District 1. Like, that's how all these people act. If you've ever been to Washington, D.C., I've been to the Trump Hotel there many times, they strut around like Vince McMahon. They do the billionaire strut. It's like, hi, I'm this person. I work in media. Oh, you work for the government. You work for the state. We're friends. We know that lobbyist together. And it's like, who are you people? Don't you just want to be a human being? Don't you wish want to go on a road trip with your family? No, they want to make state propaganda. He's having fun with it.
Yes.
He's enjoying
it. It's all a performance. It's all in the behavior.
They know they're actors. They know they're actors.
100%. Good point there.
Wow. Yeah, they know they're actors. Okay, that's enough of that. We got that third one of Bongino, because Bongino was at some kind of. Oh, let's look at him real quick. So yeah, he's the combat guy because he gave me the hat to put on, very cool.
And then he thinks this is like a fun trip for him. He's like, oh, this is so cool.
Oh, he's having a good time in the nightclub. You know what? You can't hate too much on him. At least he's living his dream, you know, selling out for the state. He touched the wall!
He touched the wall.
Oh, no, dude. He literally touched the wall. Emily Saves America shot at you so bad.
You guys did a good job finding this footage, man. He's like, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. Again, you have never had a missile fly over your head. You don't know what it feels like.
Dude, Emily Saves America needs to call me.
That's a nice view.
She hit my line. I'm telling you, we're going to go get some steaks together. We're going to hang out. But if you're too busy, you know, doing propaganda in Tel Aviv, whatever, I understand. I'm not hating on your grift, but I am hating on his grift because it's disgusting, man.
It is disgusting.
Let's go to Bongino because Bongino was at some sort of gala or fundraiser. And keep in mind, Dan Bongino quote, I'll give you a quote right now. Do not let this go, relating to the Epstein files. He gets in. I've seen the file. He killed himself. And then they shuttle everything away. They say there was nothing. They say Epstein never trafficked anybody. Basically, they say Epstein never existed. So I've seen a lot of people online, Tim. I've seen them make the argument that you don't get to call him a pedophile protector. That's a little harsh. No, I mean, you don't like the guy. You know, maybe be nicer to him. He protected pedophiles.
He did.
He absolutely did. So we're going to go ahead and play this clip. And it's got an F slur in it. I think they call him the F slur. But we're going to go ahead and play it.
Dan, don't be a coward, Dan.
Hey, you're going to be trespassed from the property, okay? This might be, you might feel like you're...
God's watching you, man. We reap what we sow.
Pause it. I mean, he looks disturbed.
He looks scared.
Can we go back to the side profile quick?
He looks scared.
And here's the thing. I'm a little chopped. I'm a little busted looking, so I'm a little sympathetic. I mean, dude, dude, if I drank like an entire bottle of liquor and I woke up the next morning, I wouldn't look like this. Like this is like.
No, that's the look of a man who's going through it.
Yeah, he's
under
the
an
devil.
Extreme amount of stress right now. Look at him. He's going through it.
He's like, I gotta stay quiet. Like, why wouldn't you just retire to a cabin in the woods? Why is he in media?
He's gotta pay the bills, man.
That everybody does.
He's gotta pay the bills. That's what it is.
Everybody's gotta pay the bills. Let's go ahead and play the rest of it.
You may feel like you're in a
God's watching you, man. We reap what we sow. God's watching us. Go all out against the deep state. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of Satan, man. I'm telling you.
You're a big shit.
I'm ready.
Why don't you do it?
I'm ready to be in Congress.
You put your name.
I'm ready. I plan on it. I'm not afraid of Hillary.
And you know, the sad thing is when he talks about God and he talks about like actually doing what you need to do, you can tell Bongino, like you can read his face like a book and he's thinking about it. He's literally, you can see it behind his eyes. You can see him think about it. It's so sad.
It's fear.
Yeah,
it is. No, I was actually about to go to the sympathetic part because it's very easy for us to make a comment from the outside, but we have no idea what conversations happen behind closed doors.
I literally think when you go to Washington, they take you to the Oval Office. There's a trap door under there. They pull it up and you just go to Hades and meet Satan. Like that, mm-hmm. That's the only explanation. Not Netanyahu, not any of this. Like you meet the devil himself.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a file. They've got everything on you and they basically say, hey, here you go. This is for you. Say anything. You don't cooperate. We're going to burn you.
And we got to break that spirit in the country because nothing is worth selling out like this. Nothing is worth it. The first person to do it will be a martyr and an American hero.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first person that makes that decision be like, hey, you know, they put me in the position of Secretary of State. They say they're going to leak my furry pictures if I don't help them commit another genocide. Like that person would be a hero, right? Yeah. Would they?
I mean, people would forgive them for that.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're living in an era now where someone like Dan Bongino, who did a show for decades, I watched Dan Bongino host The Fourth Hour for years. I watched Dan Bongino InfoWars in 2012, and he's reduced to this. Let's play the rest of the clip.
I'm not. God bless you, man. I'm here in love, Dan.
Seek the face of the Lord. Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Yeah, basically he's just calling him a pedophile. But at the end of the day, Bongino.
Protector.
Yeah, sorry, that's what he said. Bongino is not the decision maker.
Certainly.
He's definitely not the decision maker. I think he had real intent to go in there and reveal everything behind the Epstein files. But again, until you're actually in the system, you have no idea how deep it gets.
Well, they put him in there in operational capacity. The deputy director is the guy who runs everything.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Cash Patel just kind of runs around in like grifts on the platform, which is kind of base, to be honest. Like he's having the most fun out of anyone that's been appointed going to the Olympics and all that, getting the shoes made. But Bongino was the guy actually put in the trenches to do the thing. And I imagine they swallowed him up in like 30 seconds.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, like again, you got to get a guy who has like no family, no attachment to anything, doesn't care about anything.
This guy got no family. He's a perfect hitman.
Because what I'm thinking about is like, okay, even if you're a person who's like, you made the furry analogy. It's like, well, they've got other things to hurt you. It's not just you that's affected. You've got friends, you've got family. They'll say, you know, we know little Timmy, he's going to college next year. Do you want to see him not get into college? Like, they perfectly have the capability to make things not happen.
Maybe, you know, maybe someone comes out and says they got the photos of little Timmy, you know, drugging, doing something to a girl. You know, he wouldn't like that. But that's not true. He would never do that. Well, we got the AI so good now. We got a link to your phone. It's all over. You got to join up with us.
Yeah. I couldn't see anything but blackmail in these situations.
Sure.
I mean, even Elon went in with good intentions, and we just saw how they spit him out.
Yeah.
I didn't think it was possible.
Remember these things. Learn from history. They told us, and this is another reason why, like, I don't support the administration anymore. I'm open about that. Here's the deal. $2 trillion they were going to find in waste, fraud, and abuse.
And honestly, some of the things that they did find, they had to end up giving the money back to the same program.
We heard about these magic money computers at Treasury and all, and we don't hear about that anymore.
No, we don't hear anything about that anymore. And I don't think Doge still even operational?
It's not operational.
That is the saddest thing possible.
And they deposed those guys. A lot of those guys probably, like, unwarrantedly, they're gonna go to jail.
Really?
You know, yeah, I think so. Cause the Democrats are going to come in. They're going to accuse them of, you know, trying to grift off of it, trying to funnel money from other programs to other things.
It's a disappointment. I genuinely had high hopes when 2024 happened.
Me too.
I heard all of these promises. I heard we're going to get the debt under control. We're going to have Doge go in there. We're going to have them find everything. And they did a really good job at the beginning. They were giving full transparency on that X account. They were showing all the receipts. And I was like, this makes me proud. We're moving in the right direction. And I don't think we've, as weird as it sounds, the last time we were able to get the deficit under control was under the Clinton administration.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
That is nuts. And you think about during Trump's first term, it was around somewhere between 17 and 19 trillion. And the number has just gone up and up and up and up. There are so many off ramps. There are so many points where we could have just stopped this as a country or at least slowed it down. But we continue to use our economic and military power as a sledgehammer around the world, particularly Biden and Trump. Biden by weaponizing SWIFT, Trump by weaponizing the tariffs, and now the new war, the new conflict. They started new wars. Biden started Ukraine by giving them the weapons and doing the things that caused Russia to initially invade. And then Trump has now caused the initial Israel-Iran war because we aided in the strikes.
Yeah.
So we're living in a world now where there is no running away from this, Tim.
No, there's zero running away from this. Do we got one last one that we want to close out with? Or?
You know what? Let's close out with really quick. We'll just show it for 1 minute. I want to show the elite class, the Epstein class. Go to Kevin O'Leary talks about the economy. That's clip 13. I want you to look at his outfit. All we need to see this is for 30 seconds. I'm going to plug at the end of the hour. I'll tell you about some of the deals we got on the AlexJonesStore.com. But check out clip 13. Look at how he's dressed. Look at the unrelatability to the American public.
Women. They've got more diamonds. They've got more stuff. They're wearing outrageous jackets. This is Dolce dressing me. This is a one-of-a-kind Dolce museum piece. I love it. Trimmed to fit me, obviously. And then I thought, let's bring something really crazy. This is the most famous basketball card in the world. It's got all three greats on it. 22 years old, worth about $30 million.
You're lying.
One of one. Yeah, PSA 10. And then Rolex came up with a perfect pairing watch for it with the rubies. And then Cartier said, let's go crazy and let go rubies on a crash. I think, like, show me one woman that's beating me on the bling tonight. Nobody.
I'm kind of speechless right now. 30 million.
Touch it. Feel it.
Yeah, I can touch it.
Yeah, feel how heavy that is. Isn't that crazy?
It feels like 30 million.
It feels like 2.5 pounds of diamonds and rubies and white gold.
Now, that's one of Trump's advisors, apparently. He calls himself Trump's advisor, and Trump does listen to him, at least in a friendly context. How relatable is that to the American public? He's Canadian, by the way.
He's Canadian, but at the same time, he's almost identifying himself as a citizen. Mr. Wonderful has been around
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank.
Good show, man.
He's been around for a long time, but now I'm just seeing, again, he's also part of the swamp at the end of the day.
Honestly, they're just so rich. Like, the disparity is what I want to highlight.
It's the have-nots and have-yots. That's the name of the game these days. And the wealth gap and the disparity is getting wider and wider and wider and wider.
Right.
And it all started in the 80s with Reaganomics. We started allowing people to, you know, instead of stocks, instead of companies investing in their corporations and the people that are creating the production, they're like, okay, well, we can go and buy our own stock back. And all of the incentive has gone towards, you know, the people who are at the very top, and the average CEO makes 400 times more than the average worker. I'm sorry. I apologize for every single person, whoever's out there that's struggling or going through something right now. I don't have any words to describe. You know, you've got a guy like Kevin O'Leary that's up there blinged out. It doesn't even look good for one. It's just a charade at the end of the day.
You know, he's in competition with the women, right? He wants to look better than them. That's what he says.
Yeah. It's just a charade. Like, I get it. Like, I'm sure he earned his worth. He made a lot of money. He put in the work. I'm not dismissing that. But to go in front of a bunch of people and just make it seem like, okay, well, I'm support. Well, yeah, go ahead.
What happens? I'm sorry to interrupt you there.
No, go ahead.
What happens when the people at home who are on TikTok watching Instagram reels or whatever, the people that like watching the Oscars or red carpet events or whatever the hell this thing is that he's at, what happens when those people can't afford food? What happens when these people can't afford gasoline? What happens when these people can't afford to take care of their children and their children might starve? They're going to look at all the people that are blinged out. They're going to look at all people with the money. And, you know, just like a gang of robbers or home invaders on Instagram, like, oh, you know, this guy looks like he's got a nice car, got a nice watch. We're going to break in there. We're going to beat up his girlfriend. We're going to take everything he's got. Mm-hmm. Just like that. And I'm not advocating for it. This is the same argument with all these people that get bunkers. Well, you know, in the post-apocalyptic world in Minecraft, in a theoretical scenario, people are going to dump gasoline down the air intake.
Yeah. So, and then I was talking about this with Chase yesterday. I asked Chase, I said specifically, like, why don't we go up in arms about these things versus a lot of the other conflicts that have happened? Why are we in Minnesota doing all these rioting for somebody who got shot? That's one person. We're not even talking about all the other things and not discrediting to that person. It's awful. It's terrible what happened to that person.
But at the end of one death is a tragedy. A million is a statistic. I think that's Stalin or Lenin.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but it's just like, okay, these are the things that actually impact you at home. The last time I've seen something of the scale where people have actually gotten mad at people on Wall Street or any of these rich people was in 2008. You know, 2008, 2009, Occupy Wall Street. We haven't had a big movement like that since. And the only reason why we haven't done that, Rex, is because we haven't felt the pain long enough in a sustained way where you had a lot of people losing their jobs and droves and droves and droves. So does it have to get worse in order for us to actually speak out and do something about this? I really hope that doesn't have to be the equation here.
I think sadly it is. And we talk a lot about the crash on our show and we try to chronicle it and categorize what exactly is happening to our economy. We've been in a recession for a very long time now.
Yes, we have.
And for me, I've been selling things online for 5 years. I just, after 2024, after trying harder, doing more ads, doing more campaigns, the return on investment just isn't there because people don't have the money.
They don't.
And if people that are running small businesses are dealing with this on the ground, if farmers are dealing with this on the ground, if people go into their jobs, seeing the inflation go up, the money doesn't go as far, you're going to have a societal collapse eventually. And like that's always been something we've talked about on this network on InfoWars, really 30 years ago.
Yeah, and it's the last thing that we want to see. But, you know, as we've talked about it yesterday, things have to get worse before they get better. But there is a bright side to all of this, and there is a white pill solution, you know. And we just all got to keep thinking about, okay, how can we get out of this situation?
We're going to find it. We're going to find the solution. Thank you. We'll see you next hour. Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins.
Here at the InfoWars studio in Austin, Texas, there's not a single desk, workstation, or studio where you can't find a half-empty product from thealexjonesstore.com. That's because we all put our money where our mouth is. And you too can be confident that you're putting into your body the absolute best supplements, nootropics, drink mixes, and tinctures that money can buy. So to all of you who are on the fence about ordering from thealexjonesstore.com, what are you waiting for? And to all of you who've made the commitment, we here at InfoWars salute you, and we'd like to say,
thank you for your support.
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 Thank you for your support at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at @RealAlexJones and at @AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Guys, about the phenomenal products that we've got available at thealexjonesstore.com. Because here's the thing, if we don't plug, we don't stay on air. And it's vital to the safety of the operation that I do so. I want to tell you about Power Plant. I want to tell you about Methyl Drive. I want to tell you about how they pair perfectly with Methylene Blue. So keep in mind, if you've ever used Supermale Vitality in the past, Power Plant is basically the upgrade to that formula. I didn't even use a lot of the traditional testosterone boosters to do it. We did a safer formula, a formula that's really consistent. You can take it long term without having to cycle off of it. It's a high quality mineral blend. Everything your body needs to support optimum energy and hormone health, free testosterone, testosterone increases, combined with the powerful cordyceps mushroom. And let me cue you in on something here. A lot of times when people sell these mushroom coffees or these mushroom blends, what they'll do is they'll throw 10 different mushrooms in there and at a sub-efficacious dose, like 50 or 100 milligrams. 300 milligrams Rhodiola rosea, golden root, 300 milligrams cordyceps extract. I believe that's a 4-to-1 or 8-to-1 extract as well. These are the same doses that they're used in studies. Keep in mind, Rhodiola rosea, you may not have heard of that before. That is literally the herb, the root, the adaptogen that all the other adaptogens come from. The Soviets studied this for their athletes. They found that increased energy, increased dopamine, increased stress tolerance, resilience, and lowered cortisol. And now we have that same product combined with cordyceps, combined with that mineral blend for you, the audience, for anyone looking for that athletic strength, energy, vitality boost. Power Plant pairs perfectly with Methylene Blue for that. And we've got Methyl Drive. If you're a little older, if you're a little more interested in preserving your cells, making sure your cells stay healthy over time, making sure your mitochondria, the very powerhouse of the cell, stays activated and stays healthy, you're going to want the PQQ and CoQ10 and magnesium and methylation ingredients inside of Ultimate Methyl Drive. And let me tell you, when you take these together, it's an incredible effect. You have reduced oxidative stress. You have increased energy, increased vitality, really increased mental stamina, because a lot of these things have rapid uptake to the brain as well, especially the golden root. Let me tell you, it's like being activated. It's like you're on go mode, go time all the time. But you take this in conjunction with the Methylene Blue. I have had people tell me they've had the most incredible results from doing that. Tim, what was your experience at Power Plant?
Yeah, and I was actually going to have a question for you.
Like, shoot.
With Power Plant, that energy aspect that you were talking about.
Yeah, cut back to us.
Super massive. Like for me, I'm a guy who likes to have natural energy. I don't always like to take caffeine.
Right.
Because it's very hard to get off of it sometimes. So for me, when I started taking it, that little uptick, and I'm like, okay, I actually am noticing something different. What is that from? Is that from the mitochondria process?
Well, let me tell you. So these people that design these formulas, kind of like the bargain bin, bargain barrel formulas, like a typical pre-workout or energy drink or whatever, they're throwing the crummy ingredients that they know are going to give you that boost at a cost. What I did is just give you everything your body already needs combined with the two top rated adaptogenic herbs for increasing ATP and increasing brain function.
No, and that's exactly why I started taking Power Plant, because I was already one of those guys who took the Red Bulls and the Monster.
Right.
And you were like, take a look at the back of the ingredients. And I'm looking at it. I don't even know half of the things that
it's crazy.
I'm saying. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm justifying putting this in my body, and they're not even natural ingredients that my body actually needs. And then I looked at the ingredients, compared them to something like Power Plant. I'm like, this is a no-brainer. And why am I being critical of something that I'm just sitting there like, oh, well, I don't want to put this in my body, but I'm putting this Red Bull
right.
in my body.
And you're an analytical guy. You did deep research on these ingredients.
Yeah.
It's the best top quality, top rated stuff around. That's why we've always sold it. My dad's always said, if we were a restaurant, we want to give you the best food. We give you the best supplements. So it's a 360 win. And people tell me routinely, I don't have to take caffeine anymore. I don't drink as much as I used to. Why? I'm taking the Methylene Blue. I'm taking the Power Plant. I'm taking some of these products. I'm taking the iodine. Let me tell you, 50% off for VIPs right now, 30% off site wide, included on the iodine. As well. That's an InfoWars classic. That product has kept the lights on because people know it works. They come back because it works.
Yeah. And then the enter to win, that's also phenomenal.
It's a phenomenal
thing that you
deal.
Can do. I mean, Ford Mustang, Raptors, those are phenomenal cars. Super nice cars.
And you get 20 grand in cash if you win the raffle, which is really an incredible deal. And I've seen the people get the stack of bills. So if you want to enter to win, if you want the phenomenal products, if you want the classic products, we're bringing them back. We're making clean energy, clean sleep, clean vitality. It's all available at thealexjonesstore.com, the place where you should buy all your dietary supplements.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue. Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I mean, this is just bonker town.
I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. 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 I just can't shut up about it. Up about it. Up about it. Up. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
I mean, people ask, well, if the globalists want to take down Iran, why didn't they do it before? They tried with Iraq, and they tried other ways. They didn't do it because they understood that it was too big a bite to chew. Well, they just convinced Trump to do it. He needs to take his weenie. The U.S. military, the commander-in-chief, it's literally his dick. And he's stuck in the beehive that's being stung right now, and pull it out, Trump. Trump's like, no, it's painful, it's terrible, I'll just keep it in there. Meanwhile, there's 1,000 wasps there doing it, and people say, oh, they'll fall any minute. Watch, just trust Trump. Trillion D chest, all this stuff. And I'm sorry for the sick analogy, it's just... it's not good. And again, I don't want to hear from people calling me a Qatari agent. Is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs a Qatari agent? Is Eric Prince a Qatari agent? Is Tulsi Gabbard a Qatari agent? Are things going the way we said they would go, or the way you said they would go? All you, I don't know what you call them. They're like I'm on radio stations, so I was saying their names that are just influencers online. Nobody knows who they are. But it's the cat turd type people. Like, if you question anything Trump does, you're a traitor, you're bad. No, I'm blocking the bad interest trying to get him off target. I am engaging as a constituent person I put in to carry out the mission we had, not the mission you have cooked up when you're going to support Lindsey Graham getting our president under his control. I liken it to Trump's, our wife, the American people's wife. We're married to him politically. And then we catch somebody taking him away and taking him off to their house. And Trump's got his legs up behind his ears, and Lindsey Graham's in there with Netanyahu double-teaming him. And we're coming over to the house saying, hey, I'll let it pass on this. We'll go to counseling, or we're getting a divorce. You got cat turd pulling on my shoulder going, hey, let him gangbang Trump and us at the same time. And I'm watching Lindsey Graham and Netanyahu, you know, double team Trump. And I'm like, no, that's ours, not. I'm sorry for the analogy, but that's it. I mean, you got pound town going on right now. Okay. And you know, a triple team, Huckabee's in there too. So they got, you know, Trump stuff like a Christmas turkey here. And us along with it. And I'm just sitting there saying, I'm sorry for the analogy, folks, it's all on the fence. So, here's the Trump that I supported. Here's the Trump that was against the full Iran war. And again, I'd be for it if we could hit a button and remove the mullahs. You see, it ain't working like that. Because the war planners aren't scared to go to war if they can win. They don't want to have a failure or a fiasco. Why don't you listen to them a little bit? Can I be in charge a little while? Like this Full Metal Jacket. But all you guys that don't study this stuff that just woke up yesterday, like Rip Van Winkle, well, I ain't been asleep for 100 years like you. And that's why I'm pissed, because this is dangerous, 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 dangerous.
Man, I was just dying laughing. And we like to have fun on the show.
I was literally about to say that. We like to have fun.
You know, because not everything can be dark all the time. Sometimes you need a little laugh.
Levity, yes, indeed. But that was Alex Groans. I was just informed that that's a crew member. That's their channel. I don't know if I should be disseminating that information. I'll ask them if it's okay to say who it is. But wow, really, really funny stuff there. We got to have some humor because, like you say, it's so dark.
Mm-hmm.
But we pretty much agree with that, right?
We do.
That's a reasonable analogy and position to make. And it's the way I describe kind of MAGA in general. Like, we were told we were being taken to this big house party in this limousine, and we're being taken to like a gang knife fight. You know? And they like, well, get out of the car now. Oh, we're not at the house with the, inflatable, like party house or whatever. Like, no, actually you gotta line up. It's, we're the Crips, they're the Bloods, and we all have knives and guns, and we gotta charge into battle. You're like, I didn't think we had to fight anymore. I thought we already won. And they're like, no, you have to fight again.
Let's do a thought experiment. What do you think that Trump would need to do now in order to turn it around? Let's say he's going, I mean, the second year's already, this year's already spent, let's say.
I mean.
2027, what does he gotta do to change this?
I mean, what I'm going to say is going to be incredibly delusional and it won't happen. What would happen is he would need to agree to some or most of the Iranian demands, actually do a show of goodwill, and then work with Russia and China to build a new multipolar world.
Yeah, that's
not going to happen.
No.
So it's total war.
I mean, and that's not even in his control completely.
That is true as well. For sure.
You know, you've got a lot of people that would be very upset. And in the deep state, however you want to describe it, would not allow that to happen.
He's the manager of the Burger King. He's the guy that wears the apron and gives everyone their paycheck. But the CEO is thousands of miles away.
That is true. But I mean, this is, guys, if we just look at the macroeconomics, it's all about China and Russia at the end of the day. Iran is just a secondary byproduct. What we have been doing lately in America, specifically what I see with Trump's strategy is they're trying to cut China's influence on the rest of the world. We started with Venezuela. Now we're going for Cuba. And Cuba is one of those things where they're about to do a regime change. We've cut off all of the oil. We've cut off all the access in the Western hemisphere for them. I mean, Mexico started trying to send them like life care oil in order to help. And basically Trump was like, I'm going to tariff you.
Can we see if we can get Lindsey, can we get Lindsey Graham with the Cuba hat talking about we're going to take Cuba? Because like this is another thing that we're not even talking about. A nation of, I don't know how many million people, I think it's 9 or 11 million, they have no power, they have no oil, everything's sanctioned, everything's taken from them. That's economic warfare. We're fighting a war against them right now.
It is, but again, it goes back to that, you know, we don't want China to have any influence. And if you just think about what Iran is doing with like, okay, well, you've got to pay in yuan in order to actually
right. go through cross the strait.
Who do you think came up with that idea? That wasn't, that didn't come up in
Xi Jinping! He wrote a paper about it.
Yeah. He just had a quiet conversation in the back line and he's like, you know what? I think this is a great opportunity to be able to start shifting the markets away from the US dollar at the end of the day. And what is BRICS supposed to be? I mean, if they're playing yuan, that's not necessarily all like for the benefit of all of those countries, right?
The BRICS arrangement is we will trade in our own currency backed by our own national resources. Mm-hmm. And like that's kind of the economic cooperation that we've seen from BRICS. President Xi said this year, he put out a paper. I'll find it. We'll talk about this later on in the week. This is very important. He's like, look, we've surpassed the United States in every category, manufacturing, logistics, blah, blah, blah. The one area that we don't have control of is the global financial system. We are going to correct that. And they've never said that before.
Yeah, because where the money flows is where you have power.
Right, and that's why the U.S. is still the hegemon. That's why when Trump snaps his finger, that's why lightning still comes out.
And the reason why the Middle East is something that's important is because of the petrodollar. And the petrodollar runs everything, guys. Petrodollar is the reason why we don't have to completely have gold as a reserve currency, because right. now we have petrodollar to also control things. But you know what China's doing? They're playing 4D chess right now.
Right.
They know that they don't have to do anything in order for the beast or the monster to tear itself apart.
It's their philosophy. It's Confucianism. It's let the enemy mm-hmm. destroy itself. It's art of war.
The art of war. You are on the same wavelength as me, because the art of war talks about this specifically in terms of you're playing the long game. And the thing about our country is we go in four to 8 year sprints. Xi Jinping is going to be there for probably the next 10, 20, pretty much until he dies at this point, right?
Just like Putin.
So, so he's able to make a decision all the way back when he first gets into power and play this game out for 20, 40, 50 years potentially, and already have every single chess piece in play. And then meanwhile, he's going to watch each president of America come in and take away the thing that the other president did, or we don't like this. And it's just constant back and forth, and the country cannot take this constant back and forth. Do you know how many times you look at our laws and the administrations, they put in something in place and the next president's just like, yeah, we don't need that. We don't need that. We don't need that. And they don't think about everything that happens at the end of the day.
Absolutely. What you just described, what Tim just described, is why we have the deep state. Because the presidents may leave every 48 years, but the deep state stays. And that's why the deep state is essential for the empire. You do not get the empire without the deep state, because for this level of planning, you have to have people that always stay in power.
Well, the last thing I'll talk about the deep state is I don't even think it's an America thing. I think they've gone past the borders, and it's really just how do we...
We are the globalists. Are the globalists.
Exactly.
That's what the globalist means. It's empire.
Because they don't care about race. They don't care about religion. They just care about the financial and the power.
Killing all the people so that they can be left.
Yes, and everything that they need to do in order to get that power or that influence, they will do, regardless of what country is involved. Do you know they're probably, like, there's Israelis and Iranians and Saudis all in a room just at the higher levels just laughing in the back room. You know, all these peasants are just arguing with each other, and we're just making big business deals at the end of the day. I guarantee you those conversations happen, because I have conversations with people who are in those types of rooms, and they say race and religion and country does not matter to these people. It's, do you have enough money? Do you have enough power? Okay, yeah, let's make a deal.
How can we benefit each other, my friend?
Exactly.
That's the deal. That's what it all comes down to. And everyone's talking about benefiting each other at the high level. They never talk about benefiting us.
No.
They don't think about us, man.
Not once.
They want to nickel and dime us to death. They want to tokenize everything. They want to have AI as like an intelligence thing you buy on a meter, like power and all of that. Well, who's going to have access to the infinite, unlimited power, unlimited computing? Them. Who's the little peasant who uses whatever system? What they want to do is replace ownership with a renting model. This is huge. I saw it's projected to hit $1 trillion in the next 2 years. What they want to do is, Tim, you rent a phone from us, give it back in 2 years, or give you a brand new one. Right? But they do that with everything in your life. They do it with your housing, do it with your food. You can buy Starbucks with Klarna. Okay, we're in hell world. We need to campaign. We still have kind of this 5 year to decade long period where the automation is not there. We need candidates that are against these things, guys.
And you know, it starts with that slow trickle. It's like death by a thousand cuts.
Sure.
Because back in the day, Klarna used to never be a thing. It used to be credit cards, right? Everything went through credit cards. People finally found out, oh, well, these aren't so good. And then they came up with a new system. They're like, here's Klarna. You can basically break down your cost of a cup of coffee over if you've got to use Klarna to get a cup of coffee or burrito, you got bigger problems.
It's a problem.
Right? But at the end of the day, you have now allowed people to be used to this level of debt and things that are in life. And we're still not fixing the systems themselves. We don't have any financial literacy programs that are widespread that are teaching kids at a young age. Because if you teach people how to use money, then we won't be spending in America as an economy that relies on consumer spending. And they want you to continue to spend money.
Absolutely.
That's why I think we need to start doing these things from going on forward, is also having segments where we talk about financial literacy and things that you can do to protect yourself at home, because that is critical. Knowledge is everything. But do you got that clip of Lindsey Graham? We can go and pull that up. Was that the one that you were talking about?
Yes. Let's watch Lindsey Graham talk about Cuba, talk about taking over Cuba. We'll play the clip now.
I'm not looking for a fair fight. If we get in a fight, I want to win it. I want to win it quick. I'm in Miami. You see this hat? Free Cuba. Stay tuned. Yeah. The liberation of Cuba is upon us. It's just a matter of time now. You see this at? Make Iran great. President Trump said the only way to make Iran great is for the people to take over. We're marching through the world. We're cleaning out the bad guys. We're going to have relationships with new people that will make us prosperous and safe. I've never seen anybody like it. This is Ronald Reagan plus. Donald Trump is resetting the world in a way nobody could have dreamed of a year ago. He is the greatest commander-in-chief of all time. Our military is the best of all time. Iran is going down, and Cuba is next.
All right. Well, we'll be watching what's next on Cuba for sure. Got a lot of hats there. The president.
And that's propaganda for President Trump, because they know Trump watches Fox News.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you just look at that hat, and he's – I got this free Cuba hat. I know what the Cuban people need, and they need more hats.
Yeah, they need more loving from me, Lady Lindsay. But yeah, I mean, it's just, the word is macabre. It's disgusting. It's grotesque. It's Kafka-esque. But yeah, look at that. Get that crud off your teeth. It's just, they're all old. They're all rotten. I mean, here's the thing.
Make Iran great again. What does that mean?
It's MIGA.
What does that mean?
MIGA. It's MIGA. It's make Israel great again. Make Iran great again. That's what it is, man. That's what they support. And ultimately, here's the thing. I don't support Trump anymore. I'm very open about that. I'm very disgusted by this administration. I think this administration has committed war crimes. If you want to tell me that I'm wrong, if you want to tell me that I'm not MAGA, if you want to tell me that my opinion doesn't matter because, hey, I voted for a guy because I thought he would do things, he didn't do the things, I'm not allowed to criticize him somehow because you still like him, you are in a cult. You are on Lindsey Graham's team. Ask yourself, do you want to be on Lady Lindsey's team? Because we know what we say about the team.
Sign me up. Nah, I'm just playing with you. You know, but the thing is like we have all these things happen and, you know, it distracts from the real story. I know we touched upon Epstein earlier, but we did a deep dive.
We've done many.
Where we cover some of the people specifically in the Epstein files.
We did it here too.
We did it here, yeah, on your dad's show. But, you know, you look at the psychology of the people that are in the Epstein files and you look at the things that they're willing to do behind closed doors. And then those same people are in positions of power and they're the ones that steer all of the macro level, arguments, all the macro level decisions that have impacts on the regular person. And, you know, it's too big. The whole system is just too big to do something about it. And I'm just trying to figure out, okay, well, when do we fix the system, Rex? Like how do we fix the system?
Well, it's about demanding things from candidates that aren't just a part of the uniparty message. I don't care about ending transgender for everybody. You know what I care about? I care about things being affordable. I care about there being no wars. I care about the pedophiles being arrested, tried, convicted, and then legally, lawfully executed. Okay. And that needs to be everybody's platform. And that's very simple. And we talk about it. It's not left. It's not right. It's not donkey or elephant. Like we're human beings and we got to unite on the basis of that. We're entering into a time that's post-duopoly. I know there's a lot of people listening to me right now that are tired of Trump, okay? Even if you still like him and support him, you're like, well, I'm tired of having to make excuses for him. How about you don't have to make excuses for any one of these people? How about they work for you?
You really shouldn't be making excuses for anyone. So many people doing it, and they do the same thing on the left, right? Like, people would defend everything that Biden was doing. I was having arguments with people like, you know, do you not see the gas prices? Do you not see that inflation is, like, past 9% at this point? Like, how does that not bother you? Well, you know, we had Trump in before and yada yada. Like, no real arguments, right? So here's the whole thing that I want people to understand. You are allowed to take ideas from either side and call wrong is wrong. That is the biggest thing that we are trying to push as the next generation. You should not have to create a bucket that says, well, once you cross this line, you are now this. Because right. Rex, the way that you talk, sometimes people would call you a liberal. They'd be like, get this
man. He's a liberal. He wants people to be able to have food. Yeah, exactly, man. And it's being proud of our own slavery. We spent $10 trillion in the Middle East and in Ukraine on these wars since 2000. Okay, we spent $10 trillion. You can't tell me that if we spent that money at home, it wouldn't have been a better use of it.
And then on the opposite side, you know, for me to have a standpoint where I'm like, I don't think we should be teaching kids how to change their genitalia at the age of like 7.
Sure.
Like and I'll have conversations with people back home or in the East Coast, and they'll be like, or even in California, and they'll be like, oh, you're just one of the conservatives. Yeah, those Texans ate you up, didn't they?
It's the logical position. Right. At the end of the day, what we support is what's best for the people of the country. And when he throws the trans issue out there, it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect the war. But you notice, we play the clip of Trump. He throws to that because he knows that's a white rabbit that I can release out of my hat like a magician to distract you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that is.
That is all that is.
He doesn't care. You don't care. No. Don't care at all. I don't care about you or your family. I thought he did for a very long time. At least I thought that he didn't want people to die. Turns out I was wrong about that, because I'll end the Ukraine war overnight. If we pulled our funding, if we pulled the Starlink, it would be done. Zelensky would be forced to come to the table. And the narrative of Putin being Putin evil dictator. I'll give you a Trump quote. You think we're so innocent? You think we're not the same exact thing, just wrapped up in red, white, and blue? The time for this is over. Let's worry about domestic policy, about our people, and about cooperating with these other nations.
Yeah. If the next president in 2028 doesn't come in and focus only on domestic, you're going to lose all of America at that point. I think people are, by the time Trump is done doing whatever, at this point, I've just accepted reality. We can sit here, we can talk about the specific things, but the only way to change is through voting. And it's not like, you know, you're going to get like a sea of blue all of a sudden. People don't know which side to trust anymore.
Sure. And I think there are smart political operators who are realizing the time is now to run an independent, or Republican or Democrat, an independent leaning campaign, kind of like a Kennedy or like a Fishback or like whatever you want to point to. There is real social mobility for people that want to do that. You can build a following of people, because as long as you talk about the struggle of the average man is going to hear you. And when Trump gets up there and talks about transgender for everybody, well, I'm sorry, the farmer in your example who can't afford the fertilizer, ending transgender for everybody doesn't do a damn thing.
Well, here's the fundamental problem with politics, and I just had this thought and I'm thinking about it now. it is a club almost, because in order to have the best political campaign and have the most outreach and have airtime and have the best podcast and have yourself on news, it requires capital.
Sure.
And, you know, somebody who is grassroots that actually knows what it feels like to be the average American that would actually represent the things that we need doesn't have the resources to actually back it up. And then you get, you got Byron Donalds, who's got the backing of the entire, you know, administration plus a lot of the incumbents. And then you got a Fishback who clearly doesn't have as much funding to actually fight back, right? So I look at it this way. I'm like, well, we've got to create scenarios or situations where we allow, maybe there's a program of some sort where we allow candidates who actually have some merit, but also have the ability to speak the truth, give them some funding, give them ability to actually fight. Because
I think it should be all set. They should get airtime. They should have a set amount of money they get. I want elections to be publicly funded. You'll call me a socialist, call me liberal leftist Nazi. How is this working out? How does it work out when a super PAC can give a guy $41
million? Exactly. Because if it was a playing field, then it becomes specifically on, okay, like, what are your values? What are your merits? What are your values? What do you believe for? What do you stand for? That is the critical thing here to pay attention to, because just because you have $1 billion to spend and more people know, right now the way elections work is a lot of people don't know who their candidates are.
Right.
They know the guy who's like well known.
They vote down ticket.
The only reason why anyone voted for Biden was because he was directly tied to Obama.
True.
Did I really know what Biden stood for at the time?
Nope.
No, absolutely not. I had no idea what Biden stood for at that point.
Yeah.
Same thing with totally Hillary Clinton. I had people be like, well, Hillary's the solution. And then I'm like looking into stuff about Hillary and she's got like a bunch of shady stuff and people are disappearing and people are dying. And
yeah, the Clinton kill count.
You know, she's got a high body count if you think about it in that Indeed. Aspect. So we don't know what these candidates, but if you're well known, that's how you get in. We got to start being able to publicize these things and allow everybody to compete evenly. That's the only way that I can see the solution.
Yeah, it's got to be a level playing field, both short and long term. Short term, how we make that happen is we support the grassroots candidates. We support the people on the ground, because if someone's meeting everyone and shaking their hand, they care more about the person that's just doing the big super PAC ad buys. And we see that everywhere. I mean, look at Trump, right? Look at 2024. Well, you got to fight against a Democrat. That's why I got to take the Miriam Adelson money. I don't want anybody giving the person that's going to be the president $200 million. It means they own them.
No, they own them. And then you also see on the back end, I can go through the paper trail of the deals that have been made. You know, after Elon got, you know, he was the second biggest contributor. Well, now Grok is being integrated in like Pentagon contracts and,
yep,
and swarms and stuff like that. That is the ultimate goal for these people, is
to make service money can buy, mm-hmm, donating to a politician if you can afford it, especially because the amount of money it costs them to sell out is basically a drop in the bucket for you if you have $1 billion+ net worth. So we sit here as citizens trying to affect change in our government, wanting things to get better for the civilian population, wanting things for our children and our grandchildren, and you know, maybe you get it, maybe you don't. We'll promise it to you every election, but ultimately, we work for the special interests. They're the people that pay us as politicians. You get what you get. Sucks to suck. We reject that. We're here promoting freedom and liberty in a political awakening, in a consciousness where we as the people stand up and say, we want our country to work for us.
Perfect. Well said, Rex. Well said.
My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. Starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15-20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke, in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. Now, I've been telling you this for decades. So they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue, they act in different ways. So this is information the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer, but they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation. Total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3, and it's even better than the next two. The same formula, but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
I am Brianna Morello. Are you kidding me?
We are all Brianna Morello.
We are all Brianna Morello.
That's right. Welcome back.
Welcome back. We thank you. I'm Tim Tompkins. This is Rex Jones. We are your host currently for the American Journal. We really appreciate the opportunity to be able to be doing this.
Absolutely. We love being here for the audience. We've done some phenomenal work today, really laid down the law with that deep dive and covering the information.
Yeah, we've been covering the information, and there's a lot that's been happening. We've been talking about our standpoints, but, you know, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Israel with Bibi.
Bibi Netanyahu. Here's the deal. I'll just do a whole show on Israel. Let's talk about Israel for an entire hour. Okay, we'll just do it.
But here's the thing. We got to track what's happening with Netanyahu and what's happening with his people because Israel is under massive attack. And as much as we want to say the missiles have all been destroyed, the Iranian military has been defeated, they have been hit over and over and over again.
Well, they're holding back too a little bit. There's no way they're going all out launching everything. If this is a war of attrition and they need to make sure that they last as long as possible, even sporadic hits where they land, just like they flattened that region in southern Israel. I'm blanking out on the name, but where 100 they had 100 casualties, right?
I think you're talking about Dimona. I think you're talking about the nuclear facility. That area around there?
No, there was an actual region. Assad is what it was. And there were 100 casualties. And just a strike of that nature puts fear into the Israelis itself. So at some point, the Israeli people have to wake up and ask themselves, are we really willing to go through with this?
Well, Netanyahu needs the war to stay in power, and that's kind of been the nature of the entire conflict. And we had an Israeli citizen on. We talked about him. Everybody thinks this. Charlie Kirk thought this. Our guest thought this. Everyone we talked to thinks this. There had to have been a stand down on October 7th because their military is right there. It's the most secure place on earth.
Yeah,
Netanyahu needed these things to happen. They happened.
Yeah, we had an Israeli on our show, citizen, and he basically said, there's no way they allowed that to happen. He said it takes less than like 10 minutes to get to the border with a helicopter.
Right.
There's no possible way they were allowed to do all of that. And he said, you know what? This is probably a false flag situation. But if you think about it, before October 7th even happened, a lot of people were unhappy with Netanyahu. He was at a point where there was a lot of protests and there were people that were pushing back against some of his
bribes, criminality. He's been involved in all of it, and he's been stretching out this conflict and creating new conflicts like the Iran war. It's not just for greater Israel. It's also for his political mandate and his career. I want to play this video about him talking about, you know, this conflict is probably going to develop into a larger one that includes Europe. Let's go to clip 19, I believe.
The third thing they did is they fired an intercontinental ballistic missiles 4,000 kilometers right into Diego Garcia, the American-British base. They can reach now with these ballistic missiles everywhere in Europe, almost everywhere in Europe. I've been warning that for years. The fourth thing that they did is that they shut down the important maritime strait of Hormuz, trying to blackmail the world with oil terror blackmail. Four things that they're doing in 48 hours. And I asked the leaders of the world, the leaders of the free world, the leaders of the moderate states, what more are you waiting for? President Trump has correctly said that Israel, the United States and Israel in this great partnership, we're fighting the battle not only for ourselves, but for all of you. And he asked a simple question, where are you? And it's time to heed President Trump's call, his leadership and his vision, not merely for our sake, but for your sake.
Yes, President Trump's vision. Yes, it's President Trump's. It's certainly not Bibi Netanyahu.
You see where the problem here is?
Break it down.
He's elected. He represents the people, quote unquote.
Right.
Okay, so we have scenarios where you've seen in Iran, you know, they go, there's been situations where people are like, death to America, right? But that's not from nowhere. That's because of what our government has done in that region. But, you know, I'm like, I'm an American. I'm like, why do you want to kill me? I didn't invade you. I didn't give the green light. I didn't say that, yeah, let's go bomb this. Let's go bomb this wedding. Let's go destroy this region. And it's the same thing with the Israeli population. They also have people that are just being thrown in and complicit just because Bibi goes out there and says, well, we're just going to do this.
Yeah, and I'm sympathetic to it because here's the deal. We have a very large portion of our population, I'd say about like, you know, a quarter to a third of people that support this war. Okay, and people, that's genocide. Okay, in my opinion, you want to destroy a country of 19 million people? I consider that to be genocide. So our government's doing genocide, their government's doing genocide, and you have a big base of the people that are just too afraid to speak up.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of people that are like, well, what can we do? And that's the problem here. It's like we're not the only country that's dealing with their own instabilities. I'm sure. I mean, you think about it. Iran had all of their issues before the United States stepped in. Now, we did place sanctions to help make that a worse situation.
Oh, we destroyed them with the sanctions, man. That can't be discounted. I mean, here's the thing. Like, we go, look at this country. Look at this destroyed crapple. Wouldn't it be better if we had hotels and OnlyFans there? And it's like, well, you've been removing their oil and their ability to sell things for decades straight. Of course, it's not going to look the best, right? I mean, that's a fair criticism to make. So, like, none of these things, this is why we do deep dive, none of these things happen in a vacuum, ever.
No vacuum. They never happen in a vacuum. And look, all of this conflict with Israel, Iran, the Middle East, all of it comes back to the United States and the Western societies, right? You go all the way back to 1948 and 1947 when the UN had control over that region. Specifically, Britain was in control of that region after they took it from the Ottoman Empire. They said, well, we're just going to arbitrarily cut up this region. And then also, you know, after Europe and World War II happened, the Jews had nowhere to go. And they basically said, well, we'll just allow them to come here and basically create a state here. But then we'll also carve it up in a specific way. And of course, the Muslims in that area were like, we're not going to agree to this. And that's the problem. Instead of just fixing it and finding a resolution, what did the UN do and Britain? They stepped away. They stepped away and they said, well, you two guys figure it out. And that's the worst equation, because you've got here people who have been there for a while, and then you have on this other side people who have been genocided for a while, and they're both angry, they're both upset, and they're looking for some sense of security. So you allow them to kick off this negative feedback loop in which, like, each person's going to fight for their own interest. And then Israel ended up carving out more than it should have. They were wrong for that. But at the end of the day, it was Britain and the UN that said, well, we'll make this a place for you. We'll make this a home for you.
You know what it is? It's the great Western lie of the rules-based order after World War II. After World War II, we said, oh, we got the evil bad guy. We are the enlightened good people. We set up the world. We're going to run it our way. But then we operate pre-20th century. That's how we operate. It's colonial imperialism. That's why you got people on the left. Everyone always goes, you support Palestine, you support Gaza, you're just liberal, you're just a liberal. What are you, a Muslim? Are you Muslim? It's like, well, those people are against what's happening because they've been trained to recognize colonialism, even when it really isn't there. But they've been trained to recognize it, and you have this colonial project, which objectively that's what that state is. Of course they're going to come after it and criticize it. We come at it and criticize it from a different lens. What I'm saying is we set up this rules-based order, we might as well act like we follow that, right? Yeah. But we don't. We don't follow the treaties. We don't follow the arms control. We don't care about war crimes. And the primary thing we say, it is a rules-based order. It's our rules, and you take it. It's like you're playing a game with a kid, and you're like, I got invisibility power. Oh, but I shoot fireballs. Well, I create force fields that destroy fireballs. Well, what are you supposed to do?
Yes, 100%. And this is one of the most complicated and most sensitive topics. And a lot of people just make blanket statements and just say, well, the Israelis are bad, or the Iranian people. And you can find people.
I'm not
either
a big fan, I'll be honest with you, but it's the government and it's what they've done to the Palestinian people.
It is. And
genocide.
And like I'm talking about with that negative feedback loop, and why we talk about the history is everything. You know, no matter who started it, it never stopped, because each side just kept attacking each other one after another. And you're talking about decades and decades worth of combative feelings, and the feeling that, okay, like, we're always on edge. Like, we talked to an Israeli citizen. He's like, at some point, we were just used to just missiles and like sirens over our heads. But that creates a psychology in your mind. And it's the same thing for the Arab countries that are in that region. It creates a psychology of just conflict and wanting to fight.
It's the other thing he said too, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we're going to destroy them or they're going to destroy us. And mm-hmm. and that is the theology of that region. And as Americans, we're like, we don't want to deal, it's not our problem.
Yeah.
Like, why the hell are we involved
but,
in this?
But even outside of Israel, and I'm not going to take this trail too far out.
It's Israel. It's Israel.
Yeah. It's, you look at the rest of the world, and you look at places in Africa and the civil wars and the conflicts that they have. There has always been somebody at the end of the rainbow called the colonialism that happened with the Western powers, Britain and Europe
stuff. We're going to fix it. We did that deep dive on the gold trade. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Maybe you want to break it down a little bit. The U.S. troops are in charge now of the trade routes.
What he's referring to is there is a situation that was happening in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. There has been a region in the eastern part of that region in which a bunch of militant states have basically carved out their own little checkpoints in which there's just conflicts all the time. We're talking about like hundreds of them, right? But that region is specifically important because of the commodities that are located there. You've got gold, you've got rubber, you've got some of the most precious areas. So, you know, that's the war that Trump was touting. He was like, oh, I stopped 7 wars. This is one of the ones that he's saying. But really what the United States did was, well, we're going to work with the government and the militants to protect the gold, because the gold is the most important thing. And we're going to go in there and we're going to extract.
Where's the gold at?
We're going to extract that. That is pretty much what's ended up happening at the end of the day here. And it's just like, okay, we're just allowing ourselves to coattail off of a good opportunity. This wasn't for peace in the beginning.
I forget what movie it is. It's like a children's movie. It's a Pixar movie or whatever. But it's like, we're free? And he's like, I wouldn't say free. We're like under new management. Like that's what the U.S. does. It's what the West has done really globally since the 18th and 19th centuries. And we have to look at it now. We're in the modern period. And ultimately, we have fish to our east and west, and we have wheat neighbors to our north and south. We have the richest, most prosperous, so-called greatest nation on earth. We want better things here. for our people.
100%.
We don't want to have to even worry about stuff like this. We have nuclear weapons. We have oil. We have infrastructure, some infrastructure. We have farmland, most farmland anywhere in the world. Why can't we just trade?
Well, the reason,
why can't we just live?
The reason why we just can't trade is because of the thing that we talked about earlier, which is this Cold War mindset.
Yes.
Where now, instead of Russia, it's China.
Absolutely.
And everyone is afraid of a power vacuum. That's the thing that they're afraid of. They're afraid of, okay, if we stop trying to take control and be in power, well, who's going to step in and fill that power vacuum? Because at this point, we've set off an imbalance in a feedback loop in which I don't know if China just says, well, we'll just cooperate and we'll keep our power here. No, if the United States decides, okay, we're not going to do anything, it allows China to come up.
Fill the gap.
And then they fill the gap, and then you're going to end up with a situation where they control the resources. And then the fear is they start doing what we started doing to the rest of the world. That's the biggest thing.
Yep. And that's the nature of empire. That's also why empires rise and fall. Ultimately, like, we just, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
I think everybody needs a seat at the table. That's the only way this works.
I totally agree. And that's what we promote. And it really is. It's the anti-globalist. It's the reverse globalist. It's all the nations in the world having their own sovereignty, working for their own people instead of working for these state or these transnational capital interests.
Yeah. And it has to be a fairness in the deal. You have to get something for me to gain something. And it needs to be a symbiotic relationship, because that's the only way it works long term. Otherwise, somebody's going to feel like, at the end of the day, why am I getting screwed over?
Sure.
And then they set the precedence by screwing that person over. And then everyone else follows and is like, okay, well, now this is these are the rules of the game. I got to protect myself.
And this is why we have the best guests on this show, on the Gray Area Show, that me and Tim Tompkins do Thursday, Sunday. If you could get the X up really quick, Gray Area Talks, we're going to be bringing this same style to the American Journal. We're going to do it. We're going to have people like Simon Dixon, like Suleiman on. And these people have broke it down, especially Simon Dixon, in very high level terms, what this is all about. This is all about the hegemon versus multipolarity. This is all about the inexorable slide towards that. Mm-hmm. This is the problem that we face, that we deal with. And people, they talk about the culture war stuff. They talk about topical stuff. We go down to a deeper level when we do this show.
Yes, we do. And we're going to try to bring the same value here at the end of the day, because we're committed to this. We want to give you guys the knowledge that we've spent time and hours just digesting and
really care about
this. We really care about
this. I really care about this. You do too. This is what we follow. This is what we care about.
Yes. And the more information that you have, the more knowledge you have, the better things you're able to do to actually change your life. And that's the biggest thing. If we can give you anything from each episode where you just take one thing and you're able to implement in your life, or you're able to look at it from a different
angle. Make an informed decision.
That is all. That is a win for me. That is a win for Rex. And that's all that matters.
You deserve informed consent to the society that you live in, to the world that you live in, really. And these people's job, just like with the COVID vaccine, they want to give you something. They want to give you a situation you have to live in. And they want to give you no knowledge of how you ended up there. We totally reject that. That's what our show is about. That's why we do the Gray Area. We're about empowering the people. It's all about power to the people. Let's play clip 14, which is the protesters against Netanyahu in Israel. You got to give people credit, man. You got to give people credit. This is good stuff. We're going to go ahead and play this.
We are here again, day after day, to protest against the war in Iran, against the war in Lebanon, against the war in Gaza and in the West Bank. We understand that this is a misleading war, because it will bring no one safety. It will bring no one a better life. It will just cause more destruction and more death. And we demand to stop this forever war, because the people in the entire Middle East, they deserve better. We are here, hundreds of people. Yesterday we were dozens. And this is our only way to show our leadership, Netanyahu and Ben-Gvir and Smotrich, and also President Trump, that we do not believe a word they're saying. They're not fighting for the people in Iran. They're not fighting for the people of Lebanon. And they're most certainly not fighting for the people in Israel. They're fighting for themselves. We do not believe them. We will not serve their war.
Mm. Pretty powerful there.
It is. It is. But these things are necessary. People need to speak out against their government, because that's the only way that change happens. But
100%.
I don't think BB cares.
Yeah.
That's the scary part.
Well, these people, they're going to ball till they fall. I think that's the saying. They're going to ball until they fall over and die. The only thing that stops a politician is cancer.
Yeah.
Like, it's literally the only thing.
Honestly.
Evil people live forever.
This could all stop if there was an actual two-state solution that actually respected the sovereignty of both countries, because at the end of the day, we know that the Israelis aren't going to leave that area, right?
They have nukes.
They have nukes. They have the, like, there's enough people that have moved there. We have to get past the point of like, okay, we'll give back the land. They're not going to do it. Unfortunately, that is the world that we live in.
It needs to be divided up equitably. There needs to be changes.
Right. And you know, the things that they were doing in the West Bank, like the West Bank could have been a two-state, but then when they started doing the settlements, and that was something that Bibi talked about, is specifically, you ever seen that video of him talking about what he wanted to do to the Palestinian people? I gotta find that clip. But basically, he like gets secretly recorded, and he's talking about a lot of things, and he does not like the Palestinian people.
Of course.
So a lot of this stuff is old-rooted ideologies, and they purposely were putting these settlements in the West Bank. And it was causing issues, right? Because if you're saying this is a region for the Palestinian people, it needs to be for the Palestinian people. They did the thing where they withdrew all the Israelis from the Gaza Strip, but the problem with Gaza Strip is, well, the West Bank did it right where they had people that weren't extremists that were in power. The problem was is when they went to go vote in Gaza, you had Hamas that actually won legitimately, and that's why Israel had a problem, because Hamas clearly has a you should see it. It's a manifesto.
But I mean, Netanyahu set that all up too. Who funded Hamas? Who created this organization? At the end of the day, I think Israel as a state is gonna, in some form at least, cease to exist because of Netanyahu, because of what he's done, because of this war and the other economic factors. I mean, if they hit their desalinization plants, if they keep getting bombed for months and months and months, Israel already had a brain drain. They lost a ton of people in the 12-day war. People moved away.
Yeah.
They said, we don't want to deal with this. So ultimately, even if you're successful, you're gonna rule over the ashes of whatever empire you're trying to build anyway. And with the forced mobilization of troops, we talked about this as well with our guest when he came on the show. We talked about this with him. Ultra-Orthodox, they don't have to fight. They don't get...
That was an excellent point by him. He was basically saying that there's two tiers. There's the people that are not really religious, and then there are people that actually follow the Orthodox way, and they're seen as like a higher class, even though they're given free benefits. They're almost, he said, quote unquote beggars. This isn't for me, right? But they're not contributing. They don't have to pay any taxes. They don't have to do anything. And they're also,
it's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle.
Like you said, they panhandle. Like they literally go around like they're homeless, but they have the most money. Like it's crazy. And they like live poor, but they're like,
but they believe in that greater Israel aspect. And they also have the ability. They're pushing that idea in their own heads, but it's just all one big tricky situation. I just wish we could get to a point where there is a two-state solution, because that's the only way. And Hamas has already kind of been extracted. I mean, they're kind of still in the fringes in that area, but that Gaza needs to remain to the Palestinian people. There's no question about that.
Here's the thing. There was a genocide in Gaza. There's still a genocide in Gaza.
Yeah.
Until something is done about it, the rest of the world cries out for justice. Okay. There's a lot of people that don't live in the West. There's a lot of people that live in the global South, in Russia and China and places like this. They see this as the cardinal example they can point to and show other nations. You think we're so bad? Look at what the U.S. has done.
Yes.
Look at what the U.S. has supported. Because ultimately, it's not even them. We give them the money to do these things, and it's just something we don't even think about.
Yeah, and the thing that I hope that people can take away also from this is, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater in this situation, to where you lump in every single person who's Jewish or Israeli, because that's also an issue too. It's like, for me, you know, I know that African Americans commit a majority of the crimes here in America, but that's only 20% of the population, or 10% of the population.
It's five.
Five. Yeah, you're right. It is 5%. The 95% like me don't actually believe in those things and don't practice that. I'm educated. I've spent my time putting in the work, trying to contribute to society. I don't represent that 5%. That 5% is just louder than the rest of us.
But then they'll tie that to you.
They'll tie that to
me. Yeah, exactly. And this is a problem for every single group of people around the world, is misrepresentation. Ultimately, I think that it's abhorrent, the genocide, and I think you have to decry it and call it a genocide and be open about that. But I don't want innocent Israeli citizens to die. We had some footage we didn't end up playing, but I mean, civilian areas are getting rocked both in Iran and both in Israel, and it's the decisions of the government that are ultimately responsible for those deaths and for those injuries.
Yes.
And we got to remember, technically, even though they really are kings and queens, that's how they behave, they are our civil servants. They work for us. Trump works for us. Netanyahu is supposed to work for the people over there. And all they care about is ensuring their own interests.
No, you're right. Let's go to that clip. Is that clip 19?
Yeah, let's go to clip 19. Actually, no, we already did
clip 18.
We'll do clip 18.
Yeah, let's go ahead and pull that up.
If you want proof that Iran endangers the entire world, the last 48 hours have given it. In the last 48 hours, Iran targeted a civilian area. They're doing that as a mass murder weapon. Luckily, no one was killed, but that's due to luck, not their intention. Their intention is to murder civilians. Second, they fired on Jerusalem right next to the holy sites of the three monotheistic faiths, the Western Wall, the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And by dint of a miracle, again, none of them were hurt, but they were targeting the holy sites of the three major monotheistic religions. Third, they fired an intercontinental ballistic missile on Diego Garcia. That's 4,000 kilometers. I've been warning all the time. They have now the capacity to reach deep into Europe. They already have fired on a European country, Cyprus. They are putting everyone in their sights. And fourth, they're stopping a maritime international route, energy route, and trying to blackmail the entire world. What more proof do you need that this regime that threatens the entire world has to be stopped?
Yeah, see, you know, here's the problem with what he just said there. He's trying to pull Europe into it, but Europe has nothing to do with this. Like, sure. When I say nothing to do, like, Iran does not have personal beef with Europe that they would need to, like, launch a missile at Rome or something like that while somebody's vacationing. No, it's very clear. They're attacking the Gulf states because that's where the U.S. bases are specifically, and they're attacking Israel. Those are the two things that they're focused on. For you to try to think that, like, okay, that's a propaganda move right there where he's trying to incite people from Europe to actually start coming into this conflict.
Absolutely. And he's in a bunker. Okay. This guy's in a bunker. This guy's five stories underground 95% of the time. He might slink out like the Ninja Turtles, like Master Splinter, like come out of the storm drain and be like, or like It the Clown would be a better example, be like, oh, well, you know, they almost killed civilians or trying to kill civilians, whatever. He doesn't care. It doesn't affect him. His son's in Florida doing whatever. It's grotesque.
Is the rest of his family not in Israel either, right?
Yeah, I think his wife and his son are in the U.S.
Yep, of course they would be.
Because it's like you say, it's the have-nots and the have-yachts, and ultimately these people have mobility and cash like you could never imagine.
But the average citizen just has to deal with it, man.
Absolutely.
They just have to deal with it.
Well, this has been a phenomenal show. We're getting used to this. We're going to get more congruent with the crew. We're going to get to where we can implement the deep dive and the news blitz a little bit better. Sorry for the super long plug at the start of the hour, just trying to figure things out. But thank you for being here with us. We love you.
And thank you. And if you guys want to continue watching us, we'll be on during the rest of this week. We also do our show outside of this on the Gray Area Talks. Give us a follow if you guys really care. Me too on X. Rex is also on X.
Yeah, let's throw that up really quick.
We would really appreciate it. That's our YouTube there. We've got a lot of things going on where we give information like this, and we do it for the love of the game. So if you guys want to give us a follow, that's the only support we're looking for at the end of the day, because it really just gives us fuel to keep going.
It's an honor that you chose to spend your morning with us. I don't know why you did it. I hope you got something out of it. Get ready. We're going to see you tomorrow. Thank you so much for being with us here. Rex Jones, Tim Tompkins, The American Journal meets Gray Area Talks.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this out, sort of put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger. Pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue, and I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel, so good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at theallshowstore.com. is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexshowstore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger, exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexshowstore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things, libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexshowstore.com, and I thank you for your support.